Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday's edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting through shakeandwakeradio.com. I'm also being simulcast on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. Thanks for joining in and listening to what we got to talk about today. And as always, guys, if you can share a few dollars for the networks, they would much appreciate. Even a cup of coffee a month would be much appreciated by the people that spend a lot of time bringing this information forward to you. Today is a pleasure, as always, to have my friend Jürgen Wallrath back in for a conversation. Anybody that's listened to my shows over the year are quite familiar with Jürgen. He's a regular I get back in. One of the reasons I love getting Jürgen in is because of his passion. And that's something I really see lacking in Canada right now is passion from grown men. Willing to step forward and put a stop to the craziness we see going on in this country. We have a bunch of apathetic sheep in Canada, and luckily this isn't one of them. Welcome to the show, Jürgen. Always a pleasure.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, Barry. It's always a pleasure to be on, and, you know, we've been having these kitchen table kinds of conversations for a number of years now, and I appreciate it, and I think that people do as well, because we kind of put our hearts on our sleeves. We put it all out there. We're not afraid. And I think a lot of people need to rub off on that because there's so much fear out there. Anyone that they can grasp onto that doesn't show any of that fear, I think people will latch onto. And they need a lot of that these days. And in that sense, because we talk about the things we talk about, We are the kind of leaders in a sense that they look up to because we're not afraid in that sense. Barry, it's funny. I have my BitChute channel, Wolfgang's Tavern, and I have all these people that watch my videos, but nobody likes it. Nobody shares them. Very few. There's no comments. And my feeling is these people watch them. They like them, but they're afraid to even push the like button for being afraid that someone's going to knock on their door. You'd like one of Jürgen Wallrath's videos. You know, so it's a scary time. We're living in an age that's unprecedented, as we all know. And I hope we have a good hour. I'm sure we will. Barry, thanks again for having me on. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, just making that statement that you just made, that people are scared to even come forward now because of the mighty hand of our government that is just coming down on us like gangbusters right now, what they're doing in Canada, Jürgen. To me, I don't know. I ask myself this question every day is why Canadians can't see the danger that our country is in and what it represents to the future of this country right now going forward. We're getting into a very, very, very dark place. Some of the legislation being pushed by our government right now is just absolutely going to take away any of the last few freedoms that we have in this country. The censorship levels are right off the scale. Jürgen, right off the scales. And of course, they're trying to take down rebel media right now. We knew that would be the big push. Like them or hate them, they're the only media outlet in Canada is bringing you the other side of the story or even traces of the other side of the story. And of course, our government wants to silence that right now because they have I think it's 1.4 million subscribers now at Rebel. So people are listening, and the government don't want that for sure. So they can't be allowed to do this. We are in North Korean-style tactics right now, Jürgen, and why can't people see that? Why can't they see the danger? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, we've been talking about this for so many years. Just look what's going on right now. You see on YouTube and all these other social media outlets, there's more interest in the Johnny Depp trial than there is in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial or anything that's happened outside of celebrity, what I call celebrity politics and basically our celebrity lives. We have been molded into this society where we elevate these celebrities and we elevate these people of no consequence, really, because they look good. And I recall a song maybe 40 or 50 years ago as a musician that came out, Video Killed the Radio Star. It's the same kind of thing in politics. It's the same thing in our movies. We've gotten to this point where if you don't look good, there's no point in you saying anything because we're not going to pay any attention to you because we're going to think you're ugly. That's the first thing we're going to think of. Or we're going to think that you're just not right because you don't have the right teeth or your hair doesn't look good. And I have that in my song, basically, right? you know, if your hair doesn't look good, then forget about it. So, you know, when you see the media having so much interest in Johnny Depp, I mean, and I put stuff out all week about this, it's absolutely disgusting for me when I go to YouTube and the first thing comes up is Johnny Depp. When we have all these really important things going on, you know, you've got these two celebrities that are arguing about who's right, who's wrong. Who gives a crap? Nobody cares. Exactly. Nobody cares. They don't care about us. And yet all these people comment, oh, my goodness, I care for Johnny and poor Johnny. And look what she's done to him. And, oh, my goodness. And, you know, Barry, that's our problem. And you're asking me about my pet peeve. And can I lay that on you?
I'm waiting.
Okay. Here's my pet peeve. And this is I've been waiting for this pet peeve to come out. And here it is. We're being sold another Pierre, and I'm done with it. I'm done with the politics in this country the way we have it. If people cannot see that we are being sold a bill of goods again, then I completely give up. If you can't smell the setup, I give up. This man, Pierre Poilievre, whether, you know, he's saying all the right things, absolutely all the right things. And here's the thing that really gets to me that he said that no one has paid attention to. But I do, because I have followed this madness of politics for so long in this country. And here's the thing that he says that really drove me crazy. He said that we have to return the power to the people. Now, when I say that, when listening to him say that, this is the first time since 1976, that's 46 years, this is the first time that any politician in Canada of any stripe has said that we need to return the power to the people, because he knows that in 1976, Pierre Trudeau stole all the power from the people and took it into the prime minister's office. Yep. Ever since then, not a single politician has said a word about that. Now, all of a sudden, it's in his speeches. It's a very little thing that you're going to hear that he said, return the power to the people. Now, here's the other thing. This guy came cruising through. He's cruising through all these communities, and that's wonderful. Packing all these halls. Cruise through Medicine Hat here. Guess what? At the end of his big spiel where he says all the right things, refused to answer any questions. Let's answer some questions about the World Economic Forum. How about your part in the Privy Council where everybody keeps secrets from the Canadian people? How about the fact that you weren't talking about freedom until the Freedom Convoy hit Ottawa, and then all of a sudden you give a speech where you use freedom about 100 times? It is absolutely mind-blowing, and the people are going to look around and say, this is our new hero, like a bunch of fools, like Canadians have always been. So look at Stephen Harper's our new hero. Then we have this other clown comes along. He's our new hero. Every 4 years, there's a new clown that's our new hero, and it's a game that's being played. And if you can't see this set up this time, after all the information that's been out, after everything that's been going on in this country, then we deserve exactly what we get. And we're going to get Pierre Poilievre. That's what we're going to get.
He's the new white knight in shining armor. Oh, I know.
Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change.
Absolutely right. The only difference between him and the rest of the groups right now is he's wearing lipstick. And we know that he's controlled opposition, that this is just... If people can't see what's going on with this, all of a sudden along comes Poilievre and he is saying everything that Canadians want to hear right now. And we're so sick. They're all sick of what being told to them by the government. And along comes this guy and he's saying all the right things. Well, we're 2.5 years away from election, but all you hear about is Pierre Poilievre. People are going to fall for this, unfortunately, Jürgen. He's packing these places out. I think one of the reasons that is, even though we know that he's a player, a lot of these people are absolutely taking him at face value that he is the one that's going to turn it around for Canada and make all these changes that are necessary. He's just as bad as the rest of them. Like I said, he's wearing lipstick. The rest don't have it on. Go ahead.
Yeah, and like I said, it took 46 years for someone in our government to say that we want to give the power back to the people. What does that sound like? Does that sound Trumpian? Doesn't that sound something like Donald Trump said when he was elected in 2016? isn't it the same kind of rhetoric that's coming around? And they're trying to sell the people now on that because they know there's a huge movement, right? Yeah, that's right. They know there's a movement. There's a movement afoot that is very disgusted with the status quo, with the systems that are in place and everything that's there. So here we go again. The teeter-totter politics of Canada, you know, where every 4 years we decide to kick the bums out because they didn't do the right thing. Let's get the other guys in. And then 4 years later, we'll kick them out because they didn't do the right thing either. It's absolutely ridiculous. We keep playing the same game. We keep buying the same BS. And we need to stop that. We need to get smarter. We need to look towards the school boards. We need to look towards these other areas where we can improve our society. We need to improve our local farming communities. We need to make sure that we support our local farmers. We make sure that we get – listen, that's another topic we can talk about today. I guess food shortages that are coming. What about the fertilizer that we're not getting anymore all of a sudden? What are we going to use to grow the food we need?
Let's talk about that. Right? Yeah, let's talk about it. It's all coming. It's all part of the plan. You know, they've said many, many times in history, if you control the food, you control the people. And what are we seeing? You're going to all of a sudden, all these big food distribution centers in the United States are burning to the ground. We're seeing bird flu. We're seeing millions of chickens now being slaughtered. People don't realize what they're doing to us, Jürgen, because it doesn't get talked about on media at all. They don't tell us that in a couple of months from now, you might be hard pressed to find an egg. If they did, people would start panicking right now, but people should be preparing right now. That's all I can say. If you have the ability to prepare, put some food away because it is going to be the number one weapon against us, Jürgen. I honestly believe that going forward. Go ahead.
Yep. It's 15 or 18, I think, food plants that have been burnt down in the last 5 months. And we're supposed to believe that's a coincidence?
Just a coincidence.
When the World Economic Forum and all these clowns are telling us that there's going to be a food shortages when all these ships are sitting offshore and they refuse to unload them and they create laws so that truckers are not allowed to go into port to pick up containers and all this kind of stuff. It's not a food shortage that is going to happen that by accident. It's a planned food shortage to make sure that they keep control of the population and possibly eliminate another billion or two through starvation.
I think the jab's going to do that without any problem at all in the very near future, because some of the stuff that I've been looking into here in the last couple of weeks and some of the numbers that are coming out, Jürgen, are just absolutely mind-boggling. I know people now personally, Jürgen, and I couldn't say this, you know, 6 months ago, but I know four people that have died that are friends of mine from the booster. It has to be, because it's all the same thing. And now another person in my community that's been calling us a nutcase, you and me and people like us that talk, been calling us nutcases for the last couple of years, all of a sudden they're in the hospital with a blood clot in their brain. Well, imagine that. And I don't want to say, hey, that's a good thing. It's not. But maybe, Jürgen, that's what it's going to take for a few people to actually know people that are being affected by this. I know lots of people that are being affected by this, lots that have had adverse reaction to the jibby jab. A lot of people don't want to talk about it, too. You know that, eh, Jürgen?
You know that.
Certain things happen in their body, and they don't want to admit that it could be possibly tied to what they put into their bodies. This is what they're doing with this, Jürgen, is beyond evil. It is something out of the pits of hell, because they are harming our children and they know it. They know they're having a detrimental effect on our youth, and they're just pushing this so hard. You can't turn on a radio station in British Columbia right now and not hear, get your kids vaccinated. Get your kids vaccinated. Do this to protect your children. Do this to protect your community. How do they get away with this crap, man? Because it's all BS. The Pfizer dumps are blowing everybody out of the box. But we haven't heard a word about that on CBC, have we? Jürgen, not a word.
Yeah.
The most damning information yet. And nothing is spoken.
Well, I love what Viva Fry put up in a tweet there this past week. He said, if you have cardiac arrest, heart failure, stroke, irregular heart rhythms, blood clots, blood vessel diseases, and inflammation disorders, within 12 months of COVID, it's COVID-related. If you have any of these within 2 months of the vaccine, it's not vaccine-related. Right? So this is where we're at. this is where we're at, you know.
We've talked about it so many times, Jürgen. We've talked about it so many times. What we have to do to get this back and get control of this is we have to make the mainstream media accountable. How do we do that? We're paying their wages. It's our money that's funding CBC, and yet they absolutely will not cover anything that needs to be covered. If they put some of this information, even the information out right now about what came out of Pfizer on their data dumps that they were forced to do, you know, they wanted to conceal this from the public for a period of 75 years. Well, that statement alone is absolutely ludicrous. But thank God there's a judge that ordered them to dump this data, and now they have. And this is right from Pfizer, the amount of adverse effects that are being reported. Man, if that was put forward to the Canadian public from the manufacturer of these jibby jabs, and people knew it was true, this would all come to an end, Jürgen. It would come to an end because nobody would stick this in their body if they knew the truth about what Pfizer found out in their studies. And yet, like I said, not a word about it on mainstream. Mainstream's got to be called out on that. They do. Somehow, we got to get them to expose the truth because it is the truth. Go ahead.
And you can't even talk to people about it because you talk to anybody about it, and it's like you're the bad guy even for bringing it up. You can't even bring up the fact that there may be something wrong with the vaccines, right? That now there's talk about the snake venom and all this kind of stuff that's going on, that's going around. And there's a great possibility. You look at the blood clots and everything that's happening. You compare snake venom, snake bites, and all that stuff with what's happening to people. Boy, oh boy, there's a lot to be said when you look at, you know, you look at the Vatican and you see the serpent's head and all this sort of thing. You look at these Satanists and these people that worship the dark side. I mean, they worship the serpents as well, right? So when you think about it, they tried to steer us to believing it was a bat. Now, when's the last time you heard of a venomous bat? But you hear a lot about venomous snakes, don't you? And serpents are certainly the symbol. If you look at the symbol of the pharmaceutical company with that staff and the serpent that goes around it, you just start to put all those symbols together because the symbols will be their downfall. And if you look at that symbol and you combine the information we're getting now with the snake venom and all that sort of stuff, it all ties together. It all makes sense.
I think you're going to see hundreds of thousands of people all of a sudden start to die. And the reason I say that is because what these doctors are saying about the effect that this has on our immune systems. And that is the key, Jürgen. It really is. We're seeing cancer now. And people, you got to go on the internet and look these numbers up yourself. Go look up public health data on the increase in cancers in Canada and the United States in the last 12 to 14 months. It'll absolutely astound you, but you never hear a word of that spoken on mainstream. This is the kind of thing that should be front page news, that all of a sudden society in general is seeing. The numbers I've seen, Jürgen, and I don't, these aren't inflated numbers. These are actual data we're seeing, is they're telling us that cancers across the board on an average, if you went broad scale, every cancer known to man, we're seeing about a 300% increase. We're seeing major increases in certain kinds of cancers, but it's undeniable that all of a sudden cancer, I was talking to my buddy down south, his 26-year-old daughter all of a sudden has breast cancer. 26 years old, never ever had it before in her life, but the commonality is that she's gotten two shots and she's also gotten her booster. Well, people that are doing this, all of a sudden they're developing cancer. Why? Because it slaughters our immune system, Jürgen. Every day of the week, you and me have a cancer cell that goes through our body. Every person in the world has a cancer cell go through their body every day of the week, but our immune systems see it. It attacks it, boom, it's done, it's gone. But when your immune systems are down to 25% of what they originally were, then what are we seeing? We're seeing cancer explode. They say after the fourth, if we get to the point of a fourth booster, Jürgen, you will have none of your original immunity in your body. All your immunity will come out of a needle. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? That's where they're taking us. And then, of course, when people start getting sick, it'll be a new strain. So they have to bring in a new vaccine.
Yeah. Yep, they're doing it in China already, I think, right?
I saw that. I was reading that. And it's so obvious, the playbook. because they've been using it for 2 years and it's working really, really effectively. What's
wrong?
Where's
the flags for Shanghai? How come nobody's waving flags for Shanghai? How come nobody's waving flags for the democracy of Hong Kong? How come they're only waving flags for Ukraine?
Yeah,
right?
How come?
Doesn't make sense to me. Right? Because the media has poisoned us. And you know, getting back to the other topic, you just look what's happening now with the hockey players. Guy Lafleur just died. Mike Bossy died. Some of the most famous hockey players all of a sudden have cancer as well, and they're dropping dead. And nobody is putting it together that these guys are all vaccinated, just had their second or third boosters. Nobody's saying that. They're just saying, oh, my goodness, isn't it strange that they're all just dying? And all these other sports people and all these other soccer players and football players that are dropping on the pitch and these rugby players, you know, like, hello?
Incredible increase. You'd think, you know, with these high-profile athletes dying, that they'd be screaming out, but a lot of them are still silent. But it's just too much of a coincidence.
Yeah.
You look at all the ones that have died here in the last year, all the big names all of a sudden are dying, dropping like flies. I've seen a real upkick in deaths in very, very famous people, but I bet you the commonality is, like you said, they've all been vaccinated. I'll tell you, in Denmark, I was reading the numbers out of Denmark, and if this doesn't make people think, I don't know what to say, but they're reporting that 90% of the new cases of COVID that have been reported in that country are from people that have taken the second and the third vaccination. 90%. So what are they doing to us, Jürgen? What are they doing?
Yeah.
They've been telling us for 2 years that this is safe and effective. This is the way out of this pandemic. This is the solution to all the problems. You all get your vaccines and life will go back to normal. And we're finding that is so far from the truth that they've been lying like crazy to us right from the start, that it doesn't protect you. It doesn't stop you from getting it. It doesn't stop you from spreading it. All it does is make your symptoms a little bit more bearable if you do get COVID-19. And what is COVID-19? Where are the labs that have actually isolated that virus in a petri dish? Show me a lab, because I can't find one anywhere. And I went looking for it. It doesn't exist. So what are they actually dealing with? We're dealing with a flu. That's all we're dealing with. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of at the point where you're speechless. There's so much going on here. You know, at what point do we all rise up and say enough is enough? But you've got a whole bunch of people here. I was just at the grocery store again, and even though the mask mandates are lifted, I saw a family of five, a mother and father and three small kids all wearing a mask. So you've got people that are throwing down. And here's the thing that really gets me about that. When they come along with this pandemic and they tell everybody right at the start, you need to wear a mask, you need to get the jab, all this kind of stuff, people comply, they listen. At the tail end of it, when they say, okay, you're okay now, you don't need to wear the mask, the mandates are off, these people are so afraid at this point, they're not taking them off anymore.
It's almost
like
a cult.
That's part of the psychological damage they've done. These people will not reverse that because they've been so convinced that it's out there, that someone's going to give it to them, or they're going to give it to someone else by some strange reason, even though they don't have it. Right?
Yeah,
we've never had a virus around where you got to go test yourself to see if you're sick. Usually I figure it out myself. You know, I'm feeling kind of sick.
Yeah.
You know,
I better go
usually
home.
It's me that figures it out. Usually it's not figured out at the end of a freaking swab. Oh, yeah, the end of a swab tells me I'm sick.
Yeah, and why are they doing so many tests every day? When in history have we ever done tests in society? With a PCR test? Well, PCR test that by their own admission is ineffective.
Doesn't work.
Yet we're still using it as the gold standard in our society to tell people that we got, Ontario reported 100,000 cases today. And people are going, whoa, no, Mike, let's run and hide, Harry, underneath the couch again. It's back. People are so fearful. It's unbelievable. It is just, it's like a cult. They just cannot see the truth. They're just totally indoctrinated. They believe still that the government is working on their best behalf. But on the flip side, Jürgen, seeing these signs on the highway between Prince George and Terrace, my daughter said she's almost in tears seeing the amount of signs up on the side of the highway listing sites that people can go to right now about information about the jab. And the one she says she sees there all the time, it said Pfizer dumps and a website. So people could go home, punch that website up, and you will see the information that Pfizer released to the public. They could not hide it. And like I said, Jürgen, if that doesn't stop people from sticking this poison in their body, then they don't have a brain. Because anybody that reads that would just go, what the hell are they talking about? All Trudeau has said right from the beginning is that these are safe, 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 safe. How many hundreds of times have we heard that said? And it's such a lie. They're going to get called out on it. I believe that day's coming, Jürgen. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we can, you know, we can talk about this ad nauseum, Barry. You know, it's a crime against humanity. We know it. There are those in charge that are responsible for doing bad things to good people. And hopefully, with Rainer Fulmich and all these other people at the Nuremberg trials, we can get some of these people brought to justice for what they've done to us. I'm hoping, I pray every day that that happens. I'm using my triad of, I guess, what do I call it? My triad of happiness these days to keep myself at a level of consciousness where I'm sort of content and happy. You know, I have my grandkids, I have my art, I have outdoors, nature, golf. These things keep me in the now. They keep me sort of grounded, and I'm trying to get other people to live more in the now. Try not to worry about what happened yesterday or what may happen tomorrow, but be in the present, be in the now. It's going to give you a much better life. You can be a lot happier if you're in the now. You know, and by using those things that keep you in the now, like when I sit at my easel for 4 hours, I'm in the moment all the time. For 4 hours, I'm exactly where I would need to be, and that's in the right now. You know, I remember as a kid growing up, and I remember as a young boy, and I always kept thinking, okay, does life begin at 12? Oh, okay, it's not now. Does it begin at 16 when I get my license? Does it begin at 21 when I get the rights of all the adults? Right? So we're kind of programmed to believe that life is something that happens at a future date, when life is something that is right now. And here's the other thing that I've learned over the last little while. There is a basic fundamental rule of life we're not being taught, and it's called the Golden Rule. And I urge all your listeners to look it up. The Golden Rule is based on a Fibonacci sequence of numbers that are the fundamental basis of nature. It basically tells you that everything in life, everything you see, has a golden ratio of 1 to 1.618. It's illustrated in the great artists that we have. When you look at some of the great artists of the past, they use mathematical numbers to create great art, because in nature, the golden ratio is prevalent in trees, in leaves, in grass structures, in mushrooms, in everything that you see in nature has the golden ratio applied to it. Whereas, for example, if you took your base knuckle of any one of your fingers, and you took the bottom knuckle and you went to the middle knuckle of the finger and you counted that as a one, from the middle knuckle to the tip of your finger is exactly 1.618. You can all measure it. All of you out there right now, take a ruler. You can measure it. And that applies to everything in nature. From the top of your head to the tip of your nose is one. From the top of your head to the base of your neck is exactly 1.618. The distance is one from the tip of your nose to the base of your neck is 1.618. So we are accustomed, Barry, to looking at things because of that ratio. That's what makes great art. When you're looking at a painting, what makes a great painting is when they use that mathematical ratio to attract your eye, because your eye is attracted that way in nature. And this is, I just started teaching my grandkids this, because to me, it seems to me, this is one of the most fundamental things that they have never taught anybody in school. Unless you get right deep into art, you will learn about the Golden Rule. You will learn about the Fibonacci sequence. It's the only way I discovered it, is by delving deep into studying colors and nature and what I'm doing with my art. It's the only way I found it. And now I have calipers to calibrate in my art that ratio between, if you take, for example, another good example is a seashell. If you take a seashell, I'm looking at one right now of a conch, and you have these horns that stick out on the conch. If you look at the distance from one to the other, is one to the next one is exactly 1.618. It's crazy. Wow. It's everywhere. Wow. It's everywhere. And once you realize it, once you see it, your life takes on a whole new meaning, Barry. It's a whole new meaning. You look at things differently because now you understand how and why. There was an example I was given, and that was a portrait of John F. Kennedy. There's a very famous portrait of John F. Kennedy that hangs, I believe it's in the Smithsonian Institute. And in that particular portrait, John F. Kennedy's face is off to the left side. Okay, it's not in the middle or anything. And what makes it stand out is the fact if you took the Fibonacci sequence of numbers, the tip of John F. Kennedy's nose in that picture is exactly where the mathematics take it. So that person who drew that portrait knew exactly where to put that focal point of John F. Kennedy's nose to make that the most famous portrait of John F. Kennedy ever done. Every other portrait of him that was done, that artist did, where they had him in the middle or a little off to the other side that didn't use the Fibonacci, they're not the same paintings. You do not appreciate them the same way because it's a golden rule of nature. It's a rule of life. And it's stunning to me that we have allowed our educators to not tell us these things. They've lied to us. They have kept so much information from us that is so fundamental to our basics in life. It is another crime against humanity, to be truthful.
Well, I don't know what to say right now. You're going to, I've heard this said once before to me, but I really I really didn't pay too much attention to it. But now that you've brought it to my attention, it's something I'm going to definitely have to look into.
Because it's too much of a
coincidence. Well, it's too much of a coincidence to be a coincidence, right?
That's right. That's right. It's meant to be. So when you finally see it, it's like, wow. It's like a whole gateway opens to understanding. It opens to you. You know, they stress to us mathematics in the sense when you're young, you learn 2 + 2 and all this. You learn how to add, divide. You know, at least they did in our day. I don't know today, the new math, if 2 + 2 = 5, as far as I can see. However, this one basic fundamental, why that was never on the curriculum, just blows my mind. It's like taking away iodine from everything because iodine makes you smart. So let's take it out of salt. Let's take it out of the bread, right? Let's take away teaching the golden ratio because that will make people smart. So all these things that they've done to us to steal our natural inclination to learn is at the fundamental root problem that we face, right? That's the basic fundamentals of why we're in the mess we're in, because they keep all this stuff from us. If we would know all these things, we wouldn't allow the things to happen that we've allowed to happen.
Well, all I can say, Jürgen, is Canadians better wake up and wake up really quick right now, because I don't want to say we're going to lose it, but we could lose it if we don't get this under control real quick. And that I honestly believe. But we're not going to let that happen. We'll fight this to the death. What you talk about going out and getting away from it all, that happens to me, Jürgen, when I go walking in the woods. And I find that really necessary right now because everything in my life seems to be, that people know you're a little bit of a personality. So I get links sent to me all day from 50, 60 people, and they all are negative information. And even though it's true, it's really hard to absorb that and not let it affect you. So I find if I go out in the woods and I pick mushrooms, I completely forget about what's going on in the earth and in our world right now. And it gives me the ability to charge myself up. If I didn't do that right now and was just daily dwelling on all the negativity I see in the world, I think I'd lose it. I really do. But it works for me.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Nature,
get out and go for a walk.
Nature is the thing that will bring you back. And even going further, walking your bare feet, that'll take you even further into it because we're supposed to. We're supposed to be walking in the grass in bare feet because we're supposed to re-energize ourselves from the natural energy that is in the earth. It's there. It's there for all of us to take. And Tesla understood that. Tesla knew that. Energy is free for all of us because it's right there. It's in the earth, and we're meant to be a part of it. And but we're not taught any of that. It's all taken away from us, right? At the basic fundamentals when we're children, when we're very, very young. They bring us into this system. They just want to bring us into the system to make us into the in the current situation into financial slaves. They had, of course, in past generations, there were different kinds of slaves. Either way, it's mankind being some kind of a slave. And that's why they talk about slavery, and we got rid of slavery, and we have to get rid of slavery, and the blacks were slaves, and blah, blah, blah. It's all a bunch of BS to cover the fact that we're all slaves anyways. It doesn't matter what color you are. We're slaves to a system that they have created to keep us dumbed down and to keep us into this place where we're at, where now you have entire generations of people that won't question anything. They just say whatever the government says, it must be true because they all look really good and they all got good hair.
And nice socks, and of course, and of course, their biggest weapon will always be fear. Fear is the virus. Right. And until people can realize that they're scared of nothing, you are being terrified by something that is no threat to you, no threat to your life. And yet here we are, over two years into this absolute insanity, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better. I mean, we're in a little reprieve right now, but mark my words, Jürgen, that ain't going to last for long. That you know and I know they're going to come at us. They're going to come at us again really hard because they have seen how society reacted the first time around when there was nothing. It absolutely isn't affecting society, even though society's told that it is. It's not affecting society. Well, what's going to happen when they bring something along that really does affect society? What kind of control are they going to have, Jürgen? Pretty scary, if you ask me.
Well, Ford already passed Bill 100, didn't he? Bill 100 to stop protesting.
Making it illegal to protest in Canada.
Yeah.
Do people understand what that means? Do people understand what that means?
They think they're stopping the truckers from honking their horns at midnight. They're idiots.
Talking about truckers, Jürgen, I watched a video of the RCMP laughing about walking over that lady with her horse, and it's legitimate. And if that doesn't make you just infuriated, what they did to that lady with those 1,400-pound horses, and then they're caught live laughing about it, well, what kind of police force is that, Jürgen?
Not for the people, that's for sure.
Well, what happened to Ottawa, the people? Well, the best thing I've seen, like I said, in the last month, Jürgen, is Trudeau getting called out all over the world for what he truly
all over,
is.
Here's the thing, too. You know, you were talking about how it's going to get worse. Well, just look at all the bills that are in front of the House, like C-18, which is basically about news gatekeeping. Then they have C-11, which is dissident censorship. They got C-36, which means you can never face your accuser anymore. They got S-233 up there, universal basic income. They've got Bill 67, which legalized racism against Caucasians, basically. So, you know, these are all bills that are the apparatus of a police state. These are not bills that are brought forward by any democratic nation wanting to have life, liberty, and any idea that you could be a happy citizen within this government structure. Not a chance. Yeah. These people are doing everything they can to shut us down now, Barry. They're coming for us, that's for sure. I just had a lot of political meetings lately. I was at a Maverick meeting. I met one of the fellows who's wanted to be in charge of the Maverick Party. I'm quite interested in their platform. I like the idea that they basically want to do with the West what Quebec has done in the East, and that is to ensure that whatever comes up in the House of Parliament, if it isn't good for the West, they're not going to vote for it. And
I can see a major separation movement happening in Alberta right now. Major.
Well, we need it. We have no one who represents us. No one. No one.
You have no voice. You have no voice at all. Period.
None.
All you are is a cash cow for the East. And Albertans are getting to the point now where they're losing their lives, they're losing their businesses, they're losing everything that they've worked for in their life, so somebody back east can have a new color TV. And they're getting pretty pissed off with it. Well, then I look at what's going on at our borders right now with the amount of people that are coming into the country. I mean, that alone should have people screaming at the top of their lungs, but you hear nothing about it on mainstream. You don't hear about the numbers. You don't hear about the people that are actually coming in and where they're bringing these people from, the kind of people they're bringing into our country. You know, in Edmonton, Mel, I look at the newspaper, and every day now it seems like in Edmonton there's some kind of, I won't say they're gang-related, but what, six students just murdered another student right on the lawn in front of the high school. What, three, four days ago that was, Jürgen?
I know.
But they're not. But, you know, I'm not, you know, honestly, Jürgen, I know that Canada was formed by strong immigration, that people, when my grandparents came to this country, they knew they had to work, they had to assimilate to our culture, they had to follow our laws, and they had to be a good citizen. That would require, but that has been turned totally upside down. We're letting in very, very evil people. We're letting in people from societies that have no plan of ever assimilating to Canadian culture, and we're letting them in by the thousands. We're letting them in from different areas of the world where they hate each other, and you're putting them all in Canada. And what do you expect is going to happen, folks? Well, now we're starting to see this unprecedented attack of a student right in front of a school murdered by a group of people. And they're not talking about the ethnicity of the backgrounds of these people because they want to keep that from the Canadian public. But I was given information about what's actually going on there, Jürgen. And I'm not going to say what's going on there, but if the Canadian public was made aware of it, they might change their thoughts on what's exactly happening at our border right now. This unprecedented flow of people from, like I said, societies that aren't going to assimilate to our Canadian culture. That's the farthest thing from their mind. And our immigration minister is a perfect example of that, how many people he's actually bringing in from his part of the world. Like I said, I'm not racist, but I look at facts, and I know for a fact that anywhere in the world that Somalians go, I'm going to call it like it is, poop seems to happen. And that has happened over and over and over again. And here we have our immigration minister bringing thousands of them into Canada. What are we doing, Jürgen? And I'm not a racist person. I want to see my country stay the way it is. I want this country to be the same way it was when I grew up for my children. But that's not going to happen based on the influx of people we see coming in with not good intent from our country, period. That's my thoughts on that. What do you think, Jürgen? Am I out to lunch, or am I a racist? No, I'm not. Go ahead. I want your thoughts.
Well, you know, when I came to this country in 1955, we were told, I remember my dad telling me this a couple of years after we had gotten here, because I was pretty discouraged because we were Germans, and I got the crap beat out of me because I was a little Nazi kid, apparently. But, you know, I remember my dad telling me that when we got to this country, he was told you have to do three things that are essential if you want to become successful and be a good Canadian. Number one, you obey the laws of the land, period. You obey the laws of the land. That's it, right? Number two, you learn English. That's it. You have to learn English. It's very essential if you want to succeed in Canada. That's what we were told in 1955. And also we were told you have to work hard. If you're prepared to work hard, obey the laws of the land, and learn English, you will have a successful life in Canada. And that's exactly what my dad proceeded to do, along with my mother and myself. We started businesses in Ottawa. And for 30-some years, until we were robbed in 1993, we ran successful businesses in the city of Ottawa from 1963 to 1993 because we obeyed those tenets. We obeyed the law, we learned the language of English, and we worked hard. Now, here's the thing. Now you've got in 2022 and in the last number of years, you don't need to obey the laws of the land anymore. All you have to do is come in illegally across the border. We won't even call you an illegal immigrant. We'll call you an irregular person. You don't have to learn either of our official languages now, they tell you at the border. Just come on in, create your own little community where you can speak your own little language, and I'll make sure that I come to your little meetings once every 4 years, gather up your votes, and make sure that you can keep in your little tribe and your little enclave, because we now cherish multiculturalism, which was heaped onto us by Pierre Trudeau. And the notion of working hard, well, you don't have to work hard anymore because here's your check. You've got a check from the time you come to our country. We'll look after you. We'll make sure that the hardworking boys like my sons, who pay almost 50% in taxes, will pay for these irregular people to make sure that they have at least some clothes on their back, some food on the table, and a roof over their head. So there's the thing. Three basic essentials that we had to do are no longer required in this country. You can be a lazy, no good for nothing, and you're welcome to come here. Come on in. Actually, it's actually better if you are, because that way we know for sure you're going to vote for us.
Yep. Well, we know that Biden got caught outright flying illegals up from the border to places in the United States. And some of those places that he flew these people to were close to the Canadian border. Well, if you were an immigrant, an illegal immigrant, Jürgen, and you heard what Justin Trudeau said, come on to our country, we'll take you in, doesn't matter what religion, what ethnic, doesn't matter, just come and we'll take you in. And then they hear from their friends and neighbors that the day they walk into Canada, they walk into a welfare office, and the next day they're walking out with a check for themselves, for their family. And if they happen to have six kids with them, they get a check for six kids at $600. I think it's $600 a month. I think it's actually gone up now, hasn't it? Whatever it is, the family allowance for a child, they'll get that within 48 hours or 72 hours of being in Canada. Where do you think they're all going to head? All these that are crossing the southern borders into the United States right now. And you heard about what was going on in Canada. Where would you head, Jürgen? Where would you head? And you think that these people aren't coming to Canada, and we're going to see a huge influx? We know that Justin Trudeau signed us on the United Nations Mass Immigration Pact, that he's talking 400,000 a year, but we know the numbers are three times that now because of the illegal, because of the student exchange programs, the foreign work programs that are going on in the country. Then you've got legal immigration, and then you've got the illegals coming into the country. We're being swamped, and people don't realize what that's going to do to this country in 5 or 6 years down the road. We're going to be a minority, Jürgen, in our own country, and that's not too far away. Go ahead.
I think it's happening in some communities already.
If you go on a subway train in Toronto and you're a white Caucasian, you are minority in that subway car. But when I grew up, it was the other way around. It's funny, you know, my dad, when I was growing up, he said a couple things to me back then, Jürgen, that I shook my head and didn't have a clue what he's talking about. But he told me that Pierre Elliott Trudeau is a hardcore communist, and he's starting multiculturalism in Canada. And this was my dad's words exactly. He said, multiculturalism will destroy Canada as a nation in the future. And that was his words. And I didn't listen to him, Jürgen. I had no idea, but I never realized the level of intelligence that he actually saw what was coming because of the changes being brought forward by Pierre Elliott Trudeau. What an evil, evil man.
Well, it was, you know, you can blame Lester B. Pearson as well, you know, because he was partly responsible for saying that the only people that could save our Confederation are the three wise men from Quebec, including Trudeau. You know, he was the one who sold all Canadians the notion that only this communist leader from Quebec infiltrating the Liberal Party can somehow save our country. And now we've got an entire country that just whenever they feel they are hard done by, they hold up our Charter of Limited Rights and Restricted Freedom saying this is the document that will set me free. So you've got a document written by and for communists that our Canadian people are now thinking is a document that's going to save them, when it's a document that basically tells you that individual rights have no jurisdiction over the rights of the collective. So in other words, the smallest minority on the planet, which is the individual, has no rights under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and everybody is saying this is the document that's going to save us. It's just such a joke. We have been so set up. The notion that Pierre Elliott Trudeau had to redo the Constitution in 82, that he was some kind of a man who could create something that was better than the Magna Carta or the rights that God give us. I mean, he was playing God back then when he gave his middle finger to the United States of America in 1976 when he passed 3,000 orders in council that never got ratified by the House of Commons and stole all our power. So, you know, the whole thing is a mess. It's a joke, and we certainly got to clean it all up. And it's got to start with the media and the school system, all of that. It's all got to go. But it's happening. I'm loving it. I'm loving seeing parents go to these school board meetings. That's where it starts. They're starting to call out these people that want to, you know, get puberty blockers for all these children, saying it's okay for 4 and 5 years olds to be taught sex education when they're at 18. They can't even have a beer yet. Are you kidding me?
Like, it's
monstrous.
Oh, you got to love Disney, Jürgen.
Oh, it's monstrous.
Disney. It makes me feel. Yeah. It really does. What's going on?
And the trip to Epstein Island. Yeah, sure. Hey, kids, you want to ride the submarine? Sure.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Attacking the weakest,
people gotta go.
Frail part. Well, the most vulnerable part of our society is what they're targeting, and they're destroying the minds of our youth, and people aren't speaking out against it, but we are seeing a shift that people are becoming aware of what's going on, and they are starting to stand up against it. I love what Florida just did. I would love to be down there, Jürgen. I really would.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been following DeSantis for a long time, and he is telling these guys to take this stuff and deposit it where the sun don't shine. Excuse my language.
Yep.
But he's got some guts. We need more people like that in our country right now. We need somebody like that in Canada. Where are we going to find it, Jürgen? You know, what do we got? We still have the two-party system. We need constitutional reforms in Canada. That's a big subject, but really I don't see any other way out of this going forward. What do you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I don't see any way within the current system out of it. I just don't see it. I don't see voting for Pierre Poilievre as an answer. I don't see voting for any of the existing parties as an answer. You want to give credit to Maxime Bernier for his stance. He's been pretty solid right from the start. His stance has been the same. He hasn't altered course. But at the same time, he's not a grassroots movement. He's another political entity. A lot of people think, you know, it's a problem because, again, he's from that province that the rest of the country doesn't like. So there's a big problem there. That's a huge, huge problem. And no matter what people say, it is a problem. I don't care. It's a fact. It's just the way it is. Some people are never going to get right with the notion that another leader from Quebec, we just don't need another leader from Quebec. You know, they've already formed their own nation of Quebec. If you drive into Quebec City on both sides, from both ends, if you come from the east or the west, it says, welcome to the nation's capital. So you're wondering, is Ottawa the nation's capital or is Quebec the nation's capital? And who's wagging the tail here? Does Quebec wag the tail of Canada or does Canada wag the tail of Quebec?
My name is John Chrétien. I'm in your corner. Don't forget that.
I never
speak out of one side of my face. I always speak true and don't worry about my facial expressions because it's something I can't control. It's when I'm lying. It's beyond control.
Send all your taxes to Shawinigan and have no worries.
We had a couple big earthquakes just off the coast here yesterday, Jürgen. It's kind of scary.
Oh.
And the locations are right on the tip, just on the tip of the Cascadian subduction zone. Well, a 5.1 and a 5.7 and a 5.3 on Vancouver Island yesterday. That's a pretty good movement. But the thing about it, I'm not going to talk about it, but I do study this a lot, and I talk to guys that are following it. And the Cascadia subduction zone right now, buddy, is one that we should all be paying attention to. If it ever lets go, it's going to be a bad day for the human race, not just Canada. But that's a show for another day. I'll talk with other people about that. But it's something I follow all the time. And we're in
there's so much going on there, that's for sure.
There's lots going on. And lots of stuff going off the sun right now that's screwing things up. We don't know where it's going in the next little while, but it's doing crazy stuff. But in a nutshell, Jürgen, we live in a very, very small bubble that could be poked anytime and broken. Every day that I wake up and we don't go through hell on this earth, I figure that's another good day because we have so many things that could change our lives right now. But out of our control, man, that's for sure. Out of our control. But
that's for sure.
It's good to be aware of it, just like food shortages. We talked about that today. I think that's something that everybody, if you're capable of doing it, don't worry about getting a new color TV or a new car because you're not going to be able to eat those. Go start stockpiling food. It's something you can still do, because we haven't seen the effects yet, but they're coming, and they're coming real soon. Jürgen, I got to thank you for coming in again today, buddy. That hour went really quick, always does when I get you on. I'll get your last thoughts today before I have to let you go, and I look forward to my next conversation with you, my friend.
Well, thanks a lot for having me again, Barry. And again, you know, everybody out there, stock up. PEI potatoes, we're going to have a shortage, I believe. So stock up. I've got a very busy week. I've got a court case coming up. The woman who sprayed my daughter-in-law and my grandson in the face is coming up on Thursday. I'm going to be anxious to see if the criminal charges that are laid on her, what kind of justice my daughter-in-law and my grandson get for being sprayed with poison. However, it'll be an interesting week. I'll let you know.
Yeah, Annie's telling me to come on down to Florida. Annie, I might just take you up on that, because as long as I can bring my family with me, I'd be okay with that. If not, I've got to stay here and fight for my country, even though a lot of people are leaving this country. I can't do that, Jürgen. I got to stay and fight, unfortunately. We're in until the end, whatever happens. Well, thank you again, sir, for coming. We are. Well, thanks for coming in, Jürgen. And we'll be talking to you again very, very soon. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, Annie's telling me to bring the kids with me. I think I'll do that. Okay, guys, we're going to be back in 4 or 5 minutes with Kellyanne Wolf. Thanks, Jürgen, for coming in again. And I'll be back in a couple minutes.
If I were the devil. If I were the devil. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and 4/5 of its population. But I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me. Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey. Good.
Far away.
Okay, guys, welcome back, second hour. And I got two guests in the room here for the second hour. One lady that you guys have heard talk many times is Kellyanne Wolf. And I'm also joined by Lamont Daigle, who he's involved with
The Lion Canada.
The Lion Canada, correct. Welcome to the show, guys. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
And so Lamont,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, Lamont, I've never talked to you before, so this would be an introduction also. Go ahead, Kelly.
Amazing.
Yeah, Lamont, I've been working with Lamont for 2 years with the Lion Canada. So they were the original organization that that we began with at Queen's Park in Toronto, and that includes Chris Guy and Vlad. Right. And I'm so happy for us to be working together on everything. I mean, it's a very powerful thing that we're doing. Lamont needs a bigger platform, I think, and I think he's very modest about it. But I do. He's a very powerful speaker. His message is extremely strong. He's extremely dedicated to the movement and our freedom, and significant change in government. So, Barry Prince, meet Lamont Daigle.
It's a pleasure. Lamont, tell me a little bit about yourself, and let's hear what you got to say, my friend.
Well, sure. First of all, thanks, Kelly, for such a glowing introduction. I super appreciate it. You know, the way my life is, frankly, is that I just got off of my run here in the country. I've had to come out here for a little bit because the city just got a little bit too hot for me, Barry, because of all that was going on for the last 2 years, like Kelly said. So, yeah, let me just, you know, put it right out there. I originally came from New Brunswick. Moved out to Toronto. It's been 25 years, and I've been in the field of helping people. I would say, Barry, that, you know, I've found God in my life. I've basically surrendered to every possible human thing that I could have tried to take me down, and I persevered through it. And my whole thing since 2008 was to help men, because I could really see that men were, you know, failing in the world when it came to protecting the community that we once had a hold of.
Yeah,
and this was a direct translation as to what I was seeing on the ground, you know, March of 2020, when, you know, Doug Ford showed up with these ridiculous mandates, you know, based on our illustrious prime minister, being very strategic at calling him that. And that I just found that, men weren't showing up. So I basically thought, you know what, nobody else is going to do this. I waited a couple of days to see if some leaders would show up at Queen's Park for the first rally. And lo and behold, nobody showed up. So I said, screw it, I'm going in. And it was a very interesting day. It seemed like, first of all, I had never done anything like that, Barry. And it was amazing to just see the scattering of different energies and egos and personalities, you know, all yelling at each other, cops were yelling at each other, grandmothers were freaking out, little dogs were barking, and Tifa was showing up being rabble rousers. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And here we are, you know, 2 weeks and then another 2 weeks, that makes a whole 2 years of bullshit. So there you have it. We created the Lion Canada, and that was that.
Okay. And whereabouts are you now? Are you in Toronto?
Well, I'm, you know, probably about an hour out. I just discovered that it's better to be outside of the city, depending on what kind of actions they decide to unroll into the populace. Because the country is, number one, we need our connection back with nature, especially to heal some of the stresses that are going on in the world, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if I can't control too much of what the government's doing to me, I head out there where mother kind of said, hey, a little baby, why don't you come back out of here and breathe some of mama's breath, you know? So
it's funny, our my guests in the first hour there really kind of hit on how important it is that we connect with nature, and how that will take some of the stress levels out of us that we're all experiencing. We're surrounded by negativity on a 24-hour a day basis. If you're any kind of a media personality, which I know Kelly and you are in this country, we're just being bombarded with negativity. And my way of dealing with that is to get out in the bush, because I forget about everything that's going on, and it gives my old brain a chance to recharge. So take that advice to heart, guys. Kelly, what's going on with you? You've got all kinds of cool things going on. Fill me in.
Yeah, what is that? I first have to ask, what is that sound in the background? You guys hear that?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I better get outside, guys. Hold on. I'll get outside because I'm at my local mobile office, which is in Tim Hortons, because I have to use the phone.
away from my home because they track me. So hold on a second here. I'll get outside. Continue there, Kelly. I'll be right with you.
Yeah.
What a world we live in.
Got all kinds of stuff going on. To all the listeners out there, you know, you can log on to thelinecanada.com/your-right, and you can help us with our movement by signing the Canadian Bill of Rights into supremacy over all jurisdictions of law. So we opened another website called unifiednorth.com so that we can have all of the other organizations across the country that, Barry, you know very well, that I deal with, get involved and, and start getting our population the access to information that they've been oppressed from and involved in making real change for the future. So aside from that, we launched another website called mycanadianfreedom.ca. Now, if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty of what Lamont and I are up to, we've been working with a gentleman called Christopher James, and he has a website called awarriorcalls.org, and he deals in a common law realm, and he is one of the most intelligent people that we've met. So we're working with him to find justice for individuals on an individual level. But if you log on to mycanadianfreedom.ca, under the submenu, you will see the declaration and the claim. So we're going to be launching this declaration and claim in the middle of next month. And what we are essentially asking for is for military intervention on a temporary interim basis to step in and suspend the entire provincial and federal government in Canada to launch a full-scale investigation into all of the contracts, proposals, expenditures, et cetera, on both a government level and an individual basis so that there's no secrecy when it comes to whose pockets have been lined over the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And while they do that, we are going to be putting forth an amended version of the Constitution that is supposed to represent us. So, but the amendments that we made include the removal of political parties. And now the reason we're doing that is because having these separate political parties is a subconscious psychological way of implementing divisions amongst our population. And the removal of political parties will include the ending of lobbying. So corporatocracy will no longer exist in Canada. All these corporations that are infringing upon our life, liberty, security, property, and labor will be kicked to the curb virtually instantaneously, which will take all of these government mandates out of your life. So we need right now to install and enforce law. There is a very clear and big difference between what is legal and what is lawful, and legislation and law. If you break a law, you commit a crime. You would go to criminal court and you would either defend your innocence or you would receive a jail sentence. Now, don't kid yourself, even probation and all these alternative measures or consequences rather are jail sentences. They're just suspended forms of jail sentences. But if you break legislation or violate legislation, you don't go to jail in due time. You go to court and get a fine. That's because legislation is not law. It is rules of a society that is agreed upon and supposed to be consented by the population.
Right.
Do you remember, Barry, ever consenting to having your entire life shut down by these government mandates in regards to a pandemic that has never been proven to be true?
I wasn't given a vote on that. None of us ever were or ever will be. Okay, come on. Yeah, we're just the peons. We're the little poopazins that just make money for them so they can spend it wherever they want to.
Yep.
They want to spend it. I mean, we've never had a voice, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, of course. Lamont, what's the answer? How do we fix this, though? We talk about getting rid of political parties. Let me just ask you a question. I'm going to put forward a question as somebody that's just listening to this right now and really doesn't understand what you're saying, but we need to replace the political parties. Well, what are we going to replace them with, guys? Go ahead. I got the answer, but I want to hear it from you guys. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, that's why, Barry, when Kellyanne Wolf speaks in these environments, I usually keep my mouth shut, which is usually tough on a regular basis anyway. Because honestly, you know, we've been through every possible character assassination and inside infiltration to edge since all of this. And I'll tell you, All of us were at each other's throats for a minute. Okay, we really were, because we were in the belief that all these other powers that were telling us that we shouldn't be together because we're doing something wrong made sense for a minute. And then we finally went through our destruction, and here we are again, once again, right? And so working with Kelly is like absolutely amazing, because I'll tell you, Barry, there's nobody in this country, in my opinion, who's been on the side of all these different things that need to change right now and picked a side and decided that, you know what, basic or common law, going back to our roots, basically, of how this all started, matching it into how these corporations have been dealing with us, right. Whether it's companies, NGOs, whatever they are. They've been basically a long arm of this law that, like you said, we never really knew what was going on, and our parents didn't know when they signed off the status of live birth to a
right,
so that we could get a QSIP number and all these different things that I'm learning about now that are just infuriating me because I waited so long. I'm 50. And so, you know, getting myself beat up by a couple of Mi'kmaq friends in New Brunswick when I was a kid, I said to myself, you know, the French and the English need to grow the hell up and treat these people with respect, because that's why they're beating me up. They're in pain. And I knew that in grade 4. And I said to myself, that was going to be the thing I'm going to change for my Canada. I'll never leave here until they carry me out, but I'm going to align with people as a civil liberties association, a not-for-profit civil liberties association, in combination with some really great people such as Kelly and the CDDA and other agencies and stuff that she works with, and figure out a way, basically through a consensus of the people, in my opinion, you know, for example, the Line Canada, like putting together this star dream team of people that we've seen really show up in the last 2 years, and we've curated this team, and we're all going to launch at the same time with the right people, is to come up with this network of people who believe in civil liberties and who want to return to that kind of life where we can actually, you know, do away with some of these misgivings of society, which is a government that does not protect the people but enslaves it. And so I don't have all the answers, I'll tell you that right now, but I'm surrounded by people who have these ideas that tickle my bone for a little bit of an evolution of a revolution. Okay, I don't want to be bloody. I want to do it with self-defense in mind, where I'm out there standing up with grandmothers and fathers and everybody else that's got a bone to pick to say, you know what? I won't say the word here, but we're tired of it.
Yep.
And, you know, the freedom that we've been seeing from the truckers and now the bikers and everybody is that we're done. We're done. We've got until fall to have a damn good answer coming to the podium.
Yep.
And, you know, that's all I got for you, really. I mean.
Well, you know, as far as Kelly goes, she's okay. Well, I've had Kelly on lots of times, Lamont, and I love her passion. She's in this for all the right reasons, okay? And you're correct. Yeah. I mean, one person by themselves doesn't have a very loud voice, but now I've seen people right across the country starting to unify. And I was telling in the first hour there, Kelly, like my daughter went up to Prince George to visit some friends. And when she went to George a week ago, there was none of these signs on the highway. But all of a sudden, somebody has taken it upon themselves to post, she said, between Prince George and the other side of Smithers, she counted 8 billboards on the highway with websites about the negative effects and the Pfizer dumps. And that's all we have to do is get that information. She was driving. Listen, Kelly, she's driving. My daughter's devastated because she's really waking up here in the last couple of years. She says to me all the time, Dad, I wish I'd listened to you 10 years ago because you were telling me then what was coming and I didn't pay attention. But now I know I'm going, she's scared. I mean, I got 3 beautiful grandchildren with my daughter, and she was driving the highway, and she said, Dad, there was tears coming to my eyes seeing these billboards because everybody driving down the road is seeing it. It simply is, guys. All it is a website that will take you right to the Pfizer data dumps. And if people start to look at this, this whole narrative is going to get blown out of the water. If people really knew what these jabs are doing to people, then it would stop. And it's been kept from us. But she's driving along the highway, and she said she's seen 8 billboards between Prince George and Smithers. That's only a 4-hour drive, guys. So, hallelujah. That's whoever's fantastic. Doing it, I'm going to look into it and find out who's doing it. Go ahead.
Barry, you know I've been asking for this for 2 years, for everybody out there. You know, I mean, we've spent ourselves into oblivion you know, and as most people know, I'm a single mother. Like, I ask me how I brought both of my kids across this country 19 times, and I don't even have an answer for you. You know, I don't have an answer for you, but I am so grateful to be surrounded by so many Canadians who really, really care about one another. And that's what it comes down to. We've been born and indoctrinated into a society that teaches you to hate. It teaches you to discriminate. It teaches you to not respect the differences for the value that they're worth. I mean, if we were all the same as human beings, okay, what would be the point to life? You'd have nothing to learn, taste, touch, feel. There'd be no room for adaptation, and therefore no room for evolution or creation. So we would, like, our differences are literally necessity to our existence. And people need to start realizing that. You know, more people need to come into a psychological way of thinking, because everything that happens around us is planned psychologically. And unfortunately, you know, my professor, my first psychology professor, Jordan Peterson, says it the best. You know, these institutions have become so perverse that they don't even teach you. They teach you the very basic essentials of the education that they put forward. But I mean, I like Barry, you know, I trained at Quantico in human behavior and criminal profiling. I mean, in 8 months at Quantico, what I learned psychologically, I felt like a kindergarten, and that's after receiving my master's in clinical psychology. Yes. So it was like I knew nothing at all walking into that program.
And perfect for a bunch of rabble-rousers at Queen's Park.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely perfect. You must have been shaking your head when you first got there, Kelly, like, what the heck's going on here?
You know? Well, I couldn't believe it, and the level of manipulation that exists, especially I also have a master's in political science. So when you tie these things together and you're an observant person, you know, and you've traveled as much as I have, and I've been privileged in that manner for studies, you know, you put it all together and you have your perspective widens far beyond what you could ever imagine, you know, and I really comprehend the old statement, don't judge a book by its cover, and make sure you read it. Like, everybody forgets the second part to that. And the second part is make sure you read past the preface. Mm. And so most people that don't judge a book by the cover, they usually don't read past the preface, you know, and then they think that they know everything, and they truly just don't. And the truth is there is no limit to the widening of your perspective. It should be a constant and consistent thing throughout your life. And this is why respecting your elders is so important. It's not just based on their experience. It's based mostly on their observation.
Right.
And
who are they attacking mostly in our society, Kelly? Is the elders.
Our elders.
Who did they target with COVID, or this so-called COVID-19 virus? Who were the first people to get vaccinated in our society? And you think that's just a coincidence, folks? They want to eliminate the elders. Well, they want to eliminate the knowledge in society. When I grew up, Kelly, man, I love listening to my grandparents talk. Because they were full of knowledge. I listened to what they said. I respected it. And they always had good things to say. Well, they've taken that out of society, and they're going to make us into a society. What they're being programmed in school, the indoctrination programs, are just absolutely mind-boggling what they're doing to our students. They're turning out pretzels now. Well, actually, it's working good. They're turning out pretzels. But they're turning out very, very compliant, scared-to-death children who now have just been terrorized in the last 2 years. Terrorized. Chris Sky told me, he said, you know, I was in a mall there, Dad, or Barry, and he said a lady took a mask off one of her children for a second, and the child burst out screaming because they were terrified that the boogeyman was going to get them. That's how traumatized our children have become. It is sad, Kelly. It is sad. Go ahead, Kelly.
Well, you know what? We've been at Dundas Square every Saturday, you know, virtually for 2 years. There was a bit of a break we had, but we're back there. And so the weekend, not this weekend that just passed, but the weekend prior, you know, it was, I think, our third week back there, Lamont. Am I right? Third?
Yeah, about that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, and we're just fresh starting from scratch again, right? Because there's so much ridiculousness that happens with people that are protesting. They're in it for the wrong reasons. We have a specific goal in mind, and that goal is our freedom. And we're not here for accolades. We're not here to appease anybody. And if anybody believes that I owe them some sort of, decorum or demeanor,
I'd like them to produce the contract in which I signed that obligates me to provide them with that, those things. Because we're at the point where we're getting much more direct. I was extremely impressed and honestly in awe. You know, Lamont got up and introduced the day and did his speech. And people were coming off of the subway in the Eaton Center. And we're right in the core of downtown Toronto. And he stirred about 300 people that came out of that subway. And Lamont stopped them all and brought them all in immediately. Because it's time, you know what, and so I took his lead. And when I went up and I got as blunt as I possibly could without flipping my biscuits completely. So, and this is the truth, folks. He's here. We're fighting Nazis. Okay.
Yeah,
and
we are.
We're talking about Nazis who did not care if your children were dead in the street. This is serious. It is not a joke. It is not, we're not here whining or complaining because we can't go out to a club on a Friday night. We are here because your children deserve the same freedom that our grandparents all fought for us to have. We're here because life, liberty, security, property, and labor matter. And to have these things infringed upon is basically men and, you know, men and women and these elite people who are full of nothing but arrogance and self-entitlement, you know, believe they have the right to be God.
Nothing. Yes, we are the peons, Kelly.
Nothing overpowers the supremacy of God. And your rights are not privileged to you from any person or any queen, any matriarch or any monarchy or any government. Your rights are your God-given rights. To not stand up for your rights is to violate and disrespect God.
That's the end game.
Absolutely.
Lamont, you've become a Christian here in the last couple, 3 years of your life?
Well, you know, there's different, you know, I'm a Roman Catholic. I grew up that way and in New Brunswick, you know, small town Acadian kid. And I quickly saw a lot of disparities. I mean, I was paying attention to what happened in Newfoundland with Mount Cashel. And, you know, in school I was learning about what do they do to those poor, I can't even remember, I'm completely blanking here. But basically I was seeing a lot of hypocrisy in the church that I was in. And so I took a break from that because my, you know, the local priests were trying to exorcise me of my childhood ideas and it didn't do so well. Now what I discovered was I took a break for a couple of years. And the respect that I had for my grandfather, who was a choir man there, who basically ran the town with the Lions Club and delivering Texaco oil and owned a store. I mean, this man was the epitome of respect, which is why I love my grandfather, right? And our great-grandmother lived with us, you see. So it was like you guys had just said, you know, to see our elders, to see my father acquiesce to what my grandfather was saying, to seeing what the grandmother was saying to the grandfather to make him listen to her, I was seeing multi-generational kind of figuring is going on, which is amazing. Now, Christianity, for example, I've discovered that, you know, there's a God that I believe in, and I've seen that in certain other teachers, such as Paramahansa Yogananda with the Self-Realization Fellowship, who his masters and gurus actually were from the tree that Jesus Christ came from, and they all worked together at a certain time in their history. So while I didn't put on the Christian hat, I believe in Christianity. I love all religions that basically love their God, their creator, their universe, and I respect those people immensely. I've just given up on naming it exactly what it is, you know? It's changed my life, absolutely. You know, and because once you understand that we're all exactly where we're supposed to be and that God has a divine plan for us all, that we made a contract to come here in this time, it kind of relieves you of blaming yourself for the way history has kind of pushed you in directions. And I just show up the way I can these days, you know?
Every day is an adventure, isn't it?
Especially when you let go of the river bank and you go into the stream. And you see who else is swimming out there with you. Absolutely.
Yeah, biblical prophecy fascinates me, man. It really does. With the timeline.
Absolutely.
And Revelations and what I understand of Revelations and what I've read over the years, the timeline that we're in right now, I wouldn't say that's undeniable, but there's a really good indication that we're in a particular time in history where certain things are going to unfold. The mark of the beast system seems to be a real reality coming forward with the digital currency they're trying to bring into society. You know for a fact that cashless is going to come very, very soon, that there will come a time in the very near future, I believe, where cash will not be used in society. They'll put us in a situation where we won't have a choice. They'll do that either through a financial collapse or some other mechanism of control. But I can see all that coming down the tubes in the next little while. All that being said, the biblical timelines tell us that we're going to see a figure arise in society called the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And I believe he's alive right now. I wouldn't want to hazard a guess. Lots of different opinions about who he could possibly be, but I believe he's alive right now. And you know, my Bible tells me gives me a pretty good timeline for what's coming forward. I know that there's going to be bad times on the earth before things get better, but in the end, God wins, and that's all I need to know. But all that being
every
said,
time.
Yeah, all that being said, I just wanted your opinion on a few things. Kelly, what do you think about all that?
Oh, well, you know, I think people just need to come back to God. That's all I got, guys. People need to come back to God. They need to realize, like, you know, I watch people argue constantly. And I mean, some of the most hardcore Bible thumpers I know, I see them arguing and discriminating against other people for the path that they follow toward God. Right. And I would make this argument. You were made in the image of God. So what makes you think that you are respecting your own faith by discriminating, you know, or trying to stagnate the creativity of any other individual? That is not living in the image of God. You know, Jesus himself said, let those without sin cast the first stone. They don't comprehend the principles of these teachings.
Truer statement said, eh? I mean, people that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, should they, Kelly? And we all live in glass houses, man.
No, they shouldn't. You know, like I can imagine for every person, and Barrett, Lamont definitely knows. You know, we face so much discrimination; it's laughable at this point, right? So, but I mean, like, I was just speaking at a rally 2 weeks ago, and I couldn't even get a word in edgewise. Some woman was yelling, "Liar, liar!" And I'm like, "Wow!" Like, you know, I'm like, "Ma'am,
as she put her mask back on."
Jesus, I was stunned, right? But at the end of it, and I was like, and so I tried to, you know, I tried to ask her, what is it that you believe that I'm lying about? But she couldn't even hear that. She just kept screaming, liar! Like, I don't know, Barry. And, you know, I have always tried to live my life in the principles of Christ. Now, given there's been many times where I've completely and utterly failed to live up to that. But, you know, with everything that I've taken in over the last couple of years and the people that I've hurt and the people that I've reconciled with, and that includes with Lamont, like, I really love this man, like, family, like, he's part of my heart. And, you know, it brought me back to smack in the face, you know. Yes. You cannot, just like you cannot assert to stand for freedom while you simultaneously oppress the freedom of others, cannot assert an example on society unless you live within that example yourself.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. Trudeau went in front of the whole world and told them that he stands for democracy and the rights of the individuals and people's right to protest. I mean, he got up in front of the European Union and made an incredible speech. And according to CBC, he got a standing ovation for that, Kelly.
Yeah, from the one person.
Because they were leaving.
There was 29 people in the room. So the rest of them left. That's the best thing I've seen in the last little while, is him getting lambasted by the European Union, some of the things they said. I mean, he really got called out, but so he should be. He is a disgrace. He is one of the most evil people to walk the face of the earth. I believe that man is involved with just about anything and everything that's evil in our planet today, in our world. I believe he's got his fingers in. I honestly believe that, that he is absolutely from the pits of hell. And that's where he's going back one day. That's not me saying that, unless he has a change of heart. That's where he's heading one day. But all that being said, he is destroying our country right now. Absolutely destroying it. And
first and foremost, it's sad. You can't put democracy and individual liberties in the same sentence. They're not the same thing. People need to comprehend something. In a democratically ruled society, 51% of a population makes all the decisions for 49%. Can somebody please explain to me how that could possibly support, you know, or encourage and in any way, shape, or form individual liberties? It doesn't. We've seen that because in a democratic society, what do you do in the event when the government decides to put forth the biggest, most paid for marketing campaign in order to indoctrinate the majority of the population into supporting something that's false, like COVID? Well, you get what we had. You have 51% of the population supporting the enforcement of unlawful, illegal mandates on the individual liberties of individuals. So that is why democracy is supposed to be used as a tool in a constitutional republic where individual liberties are upheld. That is the only sort of society that can support evolution. And everybody's all, you know, and that's why I love when Lamont talks about the evolution of revolution. I love when he said, I think that statement is absolutely 100. It's brilliant. It's more brilliant than most people would ever take it for at face value, because that is the truth. What does it mean to revolve? It means to go around in circles and circles.
Yep.
That's what revolution promotes. That's why you see the erasing of history and the repeating of the same stuff every three generations. Even these Nazis who go forward to erase history in order to gain controls of the public and psychosocially engineer where the future is headed, they are not without being subject to their own actions. Right. So they too forget history. And that is why revolution continuously happens, and we keep repeating the same mistakes. You need, no matter how difficult the truth and the facts of any matter is, you need to record these things, and you need to educate people on them, on the truth. You can't erase them, because then you'll start repeating them again. If you don't have a record of what mistakes you've made, you are bound to repeat them.
Well, you're right, Kelly. Nazis didn't die. They just came to North America, and they're back in full force right now. If we look what's going on in our country right now, it's almost a mirror image of what was going on in Germany, 1933 to 1939. Almost to the T, you could cross the T's and dot the I's. We're going down the exact same path. Why? It worked then, and it's going to work again if we don't stand up and put a stop to it. Hitler completely controlled all the media in Germany by 1935. So all people heard was what the government wanted them to hear. Well, we have the same situation in Canada. We do have the internet, so people want to go find out opposing opinions they can. But our mainstream is just totally propagandized by the government. And that's where I think we need to really focus our attention in the meantime. I know what we're talking about today are solutions that will work. But in the meantime, we really need to get a hold of our media in Canada. If we did, this whole thing would come to a stop, Kelly. It would come to a stop overnight if people really got the information that's out there given to them. Go ahead. My opinion.
Yep. I agree. Lamont, how do you feel about all this?
Well, it's funny. There's a well-known movie I think we've all seen, especially during the beginning of this, called They Live, where, you know, Rowdy Roddy Piper goes in with his team of patriots and take over a media station. And that's complete programming. I mean, they've been, you know, showing us what they want us to do and what they want us to know that they know what to do in the future of us doing this uprising. Even right down to movies like Terminator and Avatar and all the possibilities that are going on, you know, from the people against the corporation or the government. And this is what's playing out right now. We are, like you said, Barry, heading into a dark time because, honestly, I feel that we were never free in the first place, okay? We're yelling freedom in the streets and I yell liberté for the French, but I'll tell you right now, in my heart, I don't really feel like we had freedom in the first place. We were just living a lie, and it's been a long time since the people could actually do what they wanted without repercussion of punishment instead of reward, okay? And here we are today where it's the apex, and we are right now, you know, because you and I, Barry, and even Kelly, I would think we're all old enough to remember iPods. And that was really the first time I paid attention to the initial, you know, to the crucible moment, you know, the initial stage of adopting a new technology or an idea. And the iPod didn't just take away CD players. People were like, oh, you know, I don't want to get rid of my CDs. And it's like, it's going to do more than just take away your CDs, folks. It completely changed the music industry. And I remember lots of people going, you know, I mean, we still have our vinyl lovers and vinyl is still key. It's still king too. But the efficacy, you know, us using GPS now, same thing. Oh, I prefer looking at maps and books. Are you kidding me right now? GPS, if I didn't have it, I don't know what I'd do with my life. So especially with what we have to do today. So the technology is there. I think the people are going to wake up and it's going to be a dark time because it's going to take food shortages. And it's going to take gas being $3 a liter before people start paying attention. And it's fall's coming. And all the accumulation of what's happening and what they've been putting onto us is going to happen again for fall. And that's when we're going to see a lot of people hurting, a lot of people waking up. And if we make it to next spring, it's going to be something I'd rather not call. But I'll be there to support whichever way that goes, and I'll do it with the right people.
I'll let Kelly talk. You're absolutely correct about the gas going to $3 a liter. Gerald Celente just did a video on that. I don't know if you listen to him or not. I follow him quite a bit. But he's talking about that exact same issue, that they are going to destroy our economy. They're going to do it by raising fuel prices because everything's tied to fuel. Our food is moved by fuel. Everything in our society runs off fuel. And if gas goes to $3 a liter, can you imagine it'll cost you what cost you – a couple of years ago, $80 to fill your tank is going to be $240. And the trickle down effect. We're seeing hyperinflation. I'm going to the grocery store now, and every time I go into the grocery store, I am seeing huge spikes in food prices. It's going to accelerate. Yeah. You cannot print $500 trillion out of thin air, inject it into an economy, and not expect that economy to see what's happening exactly in Canada right now. We're going down that path. Hyperinflation, we're going down the same path as Venezuela. To the T. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, I really believe in the actions that we're taking right now. And I just want to reiterate to everybody all the listeners right now, and I know you've got quite a few listeners on there, you need to log on to thelinecanada.com. And check out the website, go through all the submenus, and sign that declaration when we launch it next month. We're going to be launching it on The Line Canada, on My Canadian Freedom, and on Unified North. And we're encouraging all the other active organizations out there, whether they're religious or not, to get in contact with us immediately, because we need to ensure that the entire country gets onto the same note. And we need to empower our people, because we do have a limited time before we are all going to be subjected to the same things that happened in Nazi Germany. And this is not a joke. Yeah. So, and honestly, I really do believe in our plan. And I really do believe that if we can get, you know, at least I say it's not going to take us much, not without after all the work that we've put in over the last couple of years and all the traveling. And Barry, you will be meeting Lamont in person soon here. We are going to be planning a trip when the weather gets a little bit warmer. Across the country. So, and I am going to come up to Terrace and visit, and I do want to come out on the boat. I do want to go fishing.
I promise you a boat. Okay. I've got three offered so far. So between the three, we will get you out in the ocean for a day.
Good stuff.
But hey, here's the deal. We cannot talk politics that day. Okay.
Deal.
Because we'll talk about the ocean. We'll talk about the fish. We'll talk about everything that's good in life. And we're not going to dwell on politics. But, you know, of course, we'll end up talking about it at some point during the day because it's part of our life. But come out in the ocean and you'll never forget it. You'll never forget it. Lamont, you guys come out here. I'd love to entertain you.
Yeah. Well, we'd love to. We've never really done. We haven't been able to get out of here for a good couple of years because we've been so boots on the ground every weekend, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, it takes about three or four days to heal.
Yep.
Go ahead, Kelly. Yeah, I wanted to say that one time that Lamont did go. So do you remember when New Brunswick was completely shut off? Nobody was being allowed in. Well,
the borders closed.
I was so happy because Lamont was born there. So it's like he used his. They can't block him from going there. That's right. Where he's from, and he went there. And when nobody else in the country could go raise the East Coast in resistance, there was Lamont. And I saw the videos using all of our methods, bringing the music and bringing the people together. And lo and behold, he raised the entire East Coast. And I was in tears when I saw these videos. I was so happy. And, I'm so grateful for our network, Barry, that we have across this country, yourself included, because if we didn't have such solid people, can you imagine where we would be right where we started at ground zero?
Honestly, guys, that's all we've got right now, dudes. I'm telling you, they've got us, you know, spread across the country and separated by borders with which we call provinces. And, you know, they're doing different mandates on each province. And we have been pulled apart. The only thing keeping us together is the people. And as soon as we start getting the people in each province together, there won't be a thing called a border. Because I'll tell you, if I had my way, we'd have no more borders. Okay. France would stay France. But we'd have these borders that were held by the people, just like Yugoslavia had back in the 70s and 80s. Many religions, many peoples, many could all do and exist together. And you were distinct people who just had pride in who you were, but you didn't burden somebody else with who you were. And I really believe that, you know, it won't become homogenous. It'll be still where we have our pride in who we are, but come together as a whatever it is in the future. You know?
A collective. Yep.
I got a question. I got a question in chat. People want to know your thoughts on the Ukraine.
No, boys.
Well, I want your thoughts on it. You go ahead, Lamont, and then I'll get Kelly to weigh in.
You know what? I'll go real. I'll make it super easy because I'll tell you, Kelly's going to have a way more educated response than myself. And here it is. You know, I'm putting myself down. I'm good getting in the streets with a megaphone and a skateboard and yelling freedom, and that's about it. And everything that comes from that. But when it comes to Ukraine and Russia, I look at it this way. Number one, with everything else that's been going on in this country for the last 2 years, I can honestly say that all media that's been coming to me, especially for the last 2 years, has been lies. And everything I do and everything I see is in direct opposite of what they're telling me, because 9.9 times out of 10 from what I've seen, that I've seen my people research and come up with, you know, viable studies and research to combat what I see in the media, is that Russia and Ukraine was put forward as a distraction. I don't believe what's happening, because as soon as I hear the media telling me one thing and I see stars talking about it, I see billboards talking about it, and I see it on grocery carts and kids' underwear and all the things that are going on out there is yellow and blue, I'm like, that's telling me there's a lie. I don't understand all the pieces of the puzzle, but I'm going to take my intuition, which says to me, there's bullshit afoot, and I don't believe a damn thing. You know, that's it.
Kids underwear. Well,
I'll weigh in on this one.
Yeah, you do Kelly. I'm waiting.
Yeah. So, as you know, Barry, I've got some pretty serious cyber intel sources. And so the original anonymous group, which I'm going to declare this right now and make this very clear to all of your listeners, do not follow the main groups called Anonymous. They have been overtaken by the CIA. And that is why when you go on to the anonymous groups, OCSEC, so OCSEC, you will see a vast contradiction to what the anonymous groups are saying. And not only did they put forth a vast contradiction,
They have dumped a massive file on Ukraine, including all of the people who have invested in the bioweapons labs that Putin blew up. So it's not, listen, I am 100% against war, period. I don't say, I have been through the Middle East. I've walked through fields of dead people right after a war in Iraq. And I have I've been in a helicopter. As you know, we've had this conversation before, where American soldiers picked me up in Afghanistan, and I was not in the air more than a minute. And it was like being inside of an exploding volcano. And I urinated all over those American soldiers. And this is why I this is why I am so absolutely adamant, defensive, when it comes to our veterans. Because these people, the bravery and courage that exists within somebody to put themselves through that in order to save the lives of the people they love, is there is nothing, nothing more courageous than that on earth. I was petrified. And I still have nightmares.
Wow.
Okay. No, and there's people in this world that live through this on a daily basis. It is extremely unfortunate what's going on in Ukraine. But that said, what would you prefer? Would you prefer that Putin did not blow up those biolabs? Because that means that the biological weapons that your current government right now has been investing in to be created in these labs would be set free at some point. And these weapons are absolutely intended on killing 5 billion people. So what would you prefer? So as far as I'm concerned, for every casualty lost with the situation that's going on in Ukraine, light a candle, because these people died for your freedom.
It's really hard to get accurate information about it too, Kelly. Of course, all you're getting is what the mainstream wants you to hear, which, like you said, is a far cry from the truth. I think Putin did exactly what any person that was looking after his country would have done. Having biolabs that close to the border with a hostile group of people is not a good recipe. It's just like Israel right now with the proliferation of nuclear weapons in Iraq and Iran. I mean, you're right there. I mean, all it takes is one nuclear bomb, and the world is going to have a very bad day. I don't think that the people that are in government in the United States and Russia are that insane that they would start a nuclear war. But to say that some radical hasn't been able to get his hands on a small nuke, I think you'd have to have your head in the sand, and that terrifies me more than anything, because a nuclear exchange is not going to go well. Go ahead.
Let me break it down like this. Everybody has that one quirky person in their family, in their immediate family, the strange one, the one that's either narcissistic or dictatorial. So if every single family has got one of those in their immediate family, that means that 25% of every single village or city is full of radicals. Okay? So to assert that there are not radicals in Ukraine, a country that only, 30, 40 years ago, they had to put out on the radio, announcements to remind the people that eating your children was not okay because of the effects of the Soviet Union. You know, you've got to be, I'm sorry, an idiot.
One thing that in chat there, guys, if we could refrain from using S words and stuff like that. We are a Christian network over there, and I know that it's not really profanity, but it is. So if we could refrain from using that kind of language,
listeners would like to appreciate.
Well, it's just the S word came out a couple times there, and I know it's not really a big issue with some people, but over there they take offense to it, and they take an offense again. So sorry if we've offended you guys over in Shake and Wake. We try to keep that kind of language off the air, but it slips and it's we'll give Lamont another chance and no problem at all. Just go forward and not try to use any kind of profanities. We only got about 10 minutes or 5 minutes left anyways, guys, but I'll tell you, it's been a pleasure talking with you, Lamont. I've heard you talk in some of your speeches in Toronto and Queen Square. It was a pleasure to meet you today, and Kelly, is always a pleasure to have you in. I'll get your last thoughts here for the next couple, 3 minutes, and then I'll have to let you guys go. Kelly, right. We'll start with you.
There you go.
Well, I'll let Lamont take it first.
Oh, because it's real simple. You know, I love, like, honestly, I loved hearing Kelly talk because, you know, she's got the education to wrap all this together because I'm just, you know, like, I already forgot basically what it is that she even said because I pay attention to such a person to present moment since what I've gone through in the last 2 years of sheer horror of all this kind of crazy stuff. I mean, I haven't seen my daughter in 2 years because of this. You know, her friends and her parents and her mother and everybody else associated just think I'm the worst person in the world because of what they read in that media. I lost my dad two months into the vaccine. That's why I had to go to New Brunswick in the first place. And I thought to myself, you know, while I'm there, I'm going to fly in and make sure that I do everything I can to raise up that East Coast while I'm there, because I'm going to take that as a sign as to why I was visiting my dad at that point. So, you know what? I look at it this way. Barry, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you today, and I'm always there 100% for anybody who's got some wisdom behind them that really wants to do this for the right reasons. I will go to the front for them, and hopefully we won't have to die for anybody, but I'm there to be there for the people that care right now, because it's all we have left in a society right now that, quite frankly, I keep showing up for. And it's such a select few people that are in the initial stages of that iPod generation, okay, of people that are starting to wake up. But I know that if we live long enough in the next couple of years, we're going to see a lot of people wake up, and we will achieve what our goals are. And that has everything to do with what's in your heart and mind and Kelly's. And the benevolent ones who have our higher ascension in mind through all of this turmoil will win. We will win. The angels will finally be happy. And I know we're doing the right thing. So that's it. That's all I got for you. Keep coming out. Yeah. Keep seeing what we're doing. You know, and ask questions, people. Don't read bullshit that you're seeing us here.
Please don't use that language, okay, buddy? Please don't use that language, okay? Like, it really offends people over in the chat room, and they're just chewing me out right now about it. So please don't use that.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, guys.
At the end of the day. The end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, I'll say thank you so much. I'll put out there right now that I'm a human being. I stand up for what it is, and sometimes things come out of my mouth that are natural. And I do apologize if people get offended, but you know what? I say what I got to say, and I'll apologize. I'll do my best in the future. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak today, and I'm out. Thank you.
Hey, pleasure having you, Lamont. Kelly, what do you
think? Anytime, Barry. I'm there with you.
Thank you. Kelly.
Well, I never have any real final thoughts, that's for sure.
Okay, let's put it this way. A couple words of wisdom for the people that have been listening to this show. How's that?
Okay. Well, I appreciate that compliment, too, but I don't even know if I'm on that path yet. But we'll see. I have to make light of everything. To everyone out there that's that is taking offense for our natural expressions, I apologize that you're taking offense, but I am going to sternly make a point. And the point is this: nobody hands out offense. You choose to take it. Maybe you should stop choosing to take it. Okay. And I mean that with all the love in my heart. So I would say lighten up a little bit. So we're not on here cursing and swearing and talking like a bunch of pirates. We're on here to talk about the fact that we are defending your life against pirates. So please learn to appreciate that, because we appreciate you enough to be arrested, charged, fined millions of dollars, and still stand up in the face of the dangers that face you and your family today. So please, some respect. Thank you. But aside from that...
Well said, Kelly. Go ahead.
Thank you. So aside from that, do log on to thelinecanada.com. Do log on to My Canadian Freedom. Do log on to A Warrior Calls and get. We need each other more than we ever have before right now. And as you've seen with the Convoys for Freedom with the Truckers, what we do here in Canada will echo throughout the entire world. So it is extremely imperative for everyone to be involved, because it is the differences in our opinions that are going to lead us to an evolution where we can die in peace and know that we're leaving our children and the next several generations of children behind in a world where their life, liberty, security, property, and labor
are free.
Well said, Kelly. You know, our grandfathers are rolling in their graves right now, but I think they all have a little smile on their face listening to this conversation that we've had here in the last hour.
Here.
We are in very, very perilous times, but you know what? We're going to win. We don't have a choice. And you know what? If we don't win and things don't go for us, then at least we can look in the mirror and say to ourselves that we did everything that we possibly could. The rest is in God's hands. Thanks for joining me, guys. It's been a pleasure chatting
Thanks
with you.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye, guys.
Nice to speak.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye for now.
Barry. Thank you, Kelly.
Hey, guys, sorry about the few words that slipped out. But going forward, we have Brad Salzberg coming in the next hour from Culture Action Canada Party. He's got lots of good things to talk about, especially what's going on in our Canadian Parliament and some of the bills they're trying to pass and the freedoms they're taking away from us. I'll be back in 4 or 5 minutes with Brad. Inside. welcome back to the last hour, folks. And thanks again to Kelly and Lamont for coming in and sharing some thoughts. Outside of a couple slips in language, I think a good message was shared with the audience. It's a pleasure to have Brad Salzberg back in. He's the founder of the Cultural Action Party in Canada. I've had Brad on my show, I think, probably two or three times in the last 3 years. Always good information brought forward. Brad really follows Canadian politics, probably more than most people I know, and writes articles continuously about what's going on inside our communist government in Canada. Welcome back to the show, Brad. Pleasure to have you back in.
Thanks very much, Barry. Yeah.
We're going to start with your pet peeve of the week, Brad. What is it?
Well, you, Barry, you mentioned the word communism, and that's kind of a good segue into my pet peeve of the week, which I would say is a internet censorship. This is a real troublemaker in Canada, and the reason why communism resonates so much in this area is because, from my experience, and I've been at this a long time, the degree of public or general pushback against Justin Trudeau and the Liberals' internet censorship agenda is almost unprecedented, certainly in the past few decades. Simply put, no one wants it, okay? And when we say no one, you know, this crosses the entire spectrum of society, from your average Canadians, citizens, and the grassroots Canadians, all the way up to Google, Twitter, including our largest Canadian telecoms organizations. No one wants this thing. And yet, if, you know, looking at the positioning by, in particular, the Canadian Minister of Heritage, Pablo Rodriguez, you know, the guy is like a bull in a China shop. They won't stop. They keep saying they're going back to the drawing board. First, it was Bill C-10 and Bill C-36. Now it's 11 and 38, what have you. And they keep getting slammed. And I mean, in a big way. For example, there was this week it was revealed that the Trudeau government had held back a significant, like 420 documents of feedback from various organizations, including Twitter and Facebook, et cetera, you know, the big players. They held it back and they only revealed the organizations which agreed with them, which are far in the minority. Right. Twitter, as an example, called the internet censorship on the level of dictatorial measures in China, North Korea, and Iran. That's Twitter saying that. And so, you know, this speaks to the intensity and the, you know, the craziness surrounding this issue, where no one across the board, except a few people, and I think I know who they are, want this. But yet you get the feeling that, you know, the Justin Trudeau and the Liberals, they don't care. And they're going to implement some measure of this internet censorship that's going to have a profound effect on our society. And I'll just stop with this comment that, you know, this, according to, and there's a fellow named Michael Geist, an expert on, well, shouldn't use the word expert, but, you know, it's a tainted word, you know, in woke Canada. But anyway, an authority, you know, says that this will bring we'll have the most extreme internet censorship in the Western world. And just to reiterate, Twitter says it's on the level of China and North Korea. You know, this speaks to the communism that you mentioned in the beginning.
Well, we're in a full-blown communist fascist dictatorship right now, whether people want to admit it or not. We have no say in our government at all, Brad. You know that Jadman and Justin have made their back deals, their backdoor deals, and they've made their agreements, and they know how they're going forward, and they know the bills that they're going to bring in, and they know how much freedoms they're going to be able to take away from the Canadian people here in the next couple of years. How do we stop it, Brad? It's out of control. We have no voice in this country at all. Nothing. Nothing we do or say is going to stop them from what they're doing. So how do we stop it?
Well, you know, I don't have a silver ball or a crystal ball, and, you know, with an ability to, and you know, I'm with you largely on this. I mean, my attitude is not filled with positivity at all. I wish it was, but it really isn't. And I think, you know, both of us can see, and many people can see the reality of this thing. It would be different if media were not in the pocket of government to the extent that they are. Like, this is a fundamental problem here, is that when you speak of communism, Canada now has a communist-style media. So the government and the media are integrated, and the government, the Trudeau government, controls our media like the communist government of China controls its media in China. So, you know, if this is such a critical element, and naturally the Canadian media, CBC and Globe and Mail, et cetera, you know, they're not going to serve this up on a platter for Canadians to understand. That would only be shooting themselves in the foot and negatively impacting the money they're getting from Trudeau, our money, taxpayer money. So, you know, what you have is if guessing, because I don't know for a fact, and I'm not sure anyone does, but what percentage of society does not get what you and I are saying, you know, if it's accurate and if it's true, you know, I mean, are they not going to vote for the liberals in the next election? They're going to vote, and they could win because people don't understand, largely because of the media. But to get back to your question, what we can do, I don't think we can solve the problem, but, and I've said this, you know, every time I get in this situation, I say this, what we can do and should do is develop what I believe, you know, it's called a suffrage program, you know, suffragette suffrage program, you know, not program, but, you know, create a nonprofit and fight fire with fire by consolidating our type of people, if you want to call it that, you know, old stock Canadians and Caucasians and Christians and conservatives, you know, and we, because, you know, our society is flipping over, then, you know, it's incumbent on us to do something to consolidate political power for ourselves. And through that, we might find a path, you know, where we can challenge government as a nonprofit. But really, in essence, it's really copying the things that, you know, organizations like the Muslim Council or the National Council of Canadian Muslims and the Sikh organizations, and LGBT, it's actually doing, you know, what they have done so effectively. But if we don't do this and we remain fragmented and just a bunch of individuals with no political clout, I think we both know our fate.
Yeah, it's not a very, very bright future, and you're absolutely correct that, you know, what has the government actually done in the last 30, 40, 50 years? Well, they divided society, and they divided society in many, many different ways that, you know, society doesn't really recognize it as a division, but if you take this and add it to another division and another division, eventually what do you end up with? You end up with a very, very divided society. But they do it very slowly. They can't do stuff quickly because society would recognize it as being nefarious. So these guys, I'll call them these guys, you know, they've sat in their little back rooms 30, 40, 50 years ago and laid down exactly what they were going to do to society to divide society. The old saying that divide and conquer has never been more true in our society, Brad, because now in Canada, whether you like it or not, we have all kinds of different cultures, all mixing and matching. Some of these cultures hate each other. Some of these cultures will never assimilate to Canadian culture. They never will. We see what's going on at the border right now, Brad, and it's just an incredible influx, and they're not even reporting the true numbers of people just stampeding into Canada, and the government standing there with the arms open. Go ahead.
You know, what I would say about that is in a way, it's not identical, but I think I've come to believe that, you know, Trudeau and Gerald Butts and these liberal schemers, they see the power in population. They see the power in people, in bodies, and they see that as it has occurred in China with 1.4 billion people or whatever, and now them emerging as the world's, possibly the world's greatest power, certainly second, possibly, then that's it. He's Trudeau is in a way he's copying that, but I call it neo-communism, like it's a new form of communism, and this form includes LGBT, and it includes transgender, and it includes all these new so-called persecuted communities, right? Because, you know, if you went back 20 or 30 years, you'd have, you know, when we talked about the persecuted or the racism, you know, it was all racism, right? Now they have sexual racism, so to speak. You've got this big LGBT so-called oppressed community as well. So they've swelled the ranks. They've expanded the market of the oppressed through LGBT and transgenderism. And, you know, these things are really they're manifestations of communism, but in a new form, in a newer form. So this is what I believe about the Trudeau government and the schemers behind this. You know, is that they've cherry-picked, if you like, these certain areas from communist governments and also fascist societies of the 20th century and so on and so forth. And they've selected all these different areas and put it together into this kind of master plan. And you spoke about it, you know, like when even going back 50 years and certain things that happened, like for me, possibly the most pivotal one, except for what's going on now, would be when Pierre Trudeau forced multiculturalism on society.
Yep.
And you know, when we look back, we see it, 40, 50 years ago. Oh, now we see how, you know, our communities, for lack of better, you know, have gotten messed over, you know, how we've gotten shafted and railroaded, but we only see it in retrospect, you know? And in another 50 years, we're going to look back, or 40, 30 years, we're going to look back and say, yeah, there's another example of how our communities got shafted, right? And it'll be too late to do anything about it. And that's the way this form of communism operates. And it's facilitated because the media do it for the government, right? So it's all very insidious. And we'll stop at this final point. You know, in these transformations from a free and democratic society to a communist or you know, totalitarian society, there's always a community that is victimized, you know, like they're responsible, you know, and these are the bad guys and so on and so forth. Well, you know, if you want to designate one in our time, I would say white Canadian males, you know, we're the you know, these people are responsible for all the troubles of the minorities and the gay community, you know, so now we're the target. So we see an inversion. It's a social inversion, and it's payback. It's vengeance. You know, they want to, and it's, you know, this is how I see it. They're like bloodthirsty for it, you know.
That's a very deep thought, Brad, but, you know, I'd agree with a lot of what you just said, that if you were being brought into Canada, say you were an immigrant and you were coming into Canada and the government just allowed you to walk into the country, all of a sudden they're giving you checks, they're giving you money, they're looking after your family, they're putting up in hotels, they're treating you like you're God and you've walked into our country illegally. Well, who are you going to vote for in the next election? Who would you support if it came to an election? They're created so much of a voter base already, Brad, with the immigration that's happened since Trudeau has taken power, that those numbers are growing. Mm-hmm. You know it. I know it. Those numbers are growing exponentially. 10 years down the road, going on the projections that we are right now, we're almost at a minority where we won't have a say left in our country that'll be dictated by other people. Period.
I believe that. You know, and I just add something to your thought about these people coming in, and they're, you know, they come in really as default liberal voters. But these are the people. See, Trudeau doesn't care where they have their citizenship yet. You know, for him, they'll get that in time. You know, what he loves about it is that these are people who do not understand Canadian history, who do not understand the history of democratic governance in Canada. They're ignorant, for lack of a better term, or politically ignorant. Whereas people like, you know, us, the old stock Canadians, or the, you know, 40, age 40 and above, we can see very clearly if we're not a snowflake liberal type, and there are really are millions of us, I believe, we can see the agenda. But these people, the new Canadians and the border jumpers and the new immigrants and refugees, they can't see it. And again, I do bring this back to the communist way of thinking, because within a communist society, people, they're just digits. They're just numbers and zombies. That's why Trudeau loves the Chinese so much, because they'll come into the, you know, most of them, not everyone, but they'll come into the country, they'll wear the mask, they'll won't complain, they'll do exactly what they are told without understanding things from a historical point of view. So he loves them and hates us. We're just a thorn in his side.
Yep, you're absolutely correct. I mean, I can't disagree with anything you just said, Brett. I can see it. I can see where they're taking the country, how they're going to displace us, how he is creating a voter base, how he is bringing in cultures into this country that are not, like you said, are not going to assimilate. These cultures, a lot of them hate us. We're bringing in people from parts of the world where we've gone over in wars and killed their relatives. And now we're bringing those people into Canada.
Right.
Now, you know, I'm not a racist person, Brad. I think everybody in life, everybody deserves a chance at a good life. But when you come into a country, I believe there's thousands of these people right now coming into this country with no good intent for Canada, none whatsoever. We know for a fact that enclaves have been formed all over this country. And if the government is supporting this kind of ongoing operations and these enclaves, what kind of support would the government give these organizations? What kind of possible toys would they give them? We are dealing with a government right now hell-bent on completely destroying everything that you and me and everybody else listening to this show right now, we cherish in life. Everything that we've grown up with and accepted as part of our society is now in real serious danger. They're passing, we'll talk about a few, just talk about a few of the bills that they're passing right now in Parliament, or they're running through Parliament right now. Would you, Brad? I mean, it's just outrageous. It's just one after another, and none of them are conducive to a free society. Go ahead.
You know, I can't disagree with you. I mean, I really think that what I think of is the word revolution. And, you know, if we look at our history, we had something called the Quiet Revolution that was instigated by Pierre Trudeau, another communist like Justin, and in the 60s, and the FLQ, and that, and there was a revolution called the Silent Revolution, instigated by Mao Zedong in China, in I think the late 1940s, and that was really when it became at least a modern communist state. So quiet revolution, silent revolution. This revolution, which I believe it is protected by the media. Therefore, it's in line with the silent and quiet revolution. The media don't say anything about it, but that doesn't mean there isn't a revolution going on. And because the Trudeau family, in my opinion, are pure communists, not you know, they think it's cool. They are the very thing that they've you know, between Pierre and Justin, really, and the media downplay, it's ridiculous, you know, the degree they never make the connection between Justin's communism and Pierre's communism, you know, between the two of them, sort of simply put, you know, we've ended up with a form of communist revolution in Canada, and it's rolling, and I don't think anything's going to stop it. I think that, like I had mentioned, that, you know, we need to consolidate and develop our own community, because, like I think you said, we're gonna be a minority one day. And the problem is we don't look to the future. We don't think about these things. Well, the government brings in, and, you know, let's say it becomes 500,000 immigrants per year, which I'm sure it will in another few years, you know, 1 million immigrants every 2 years, you know, as, and they have the birth rates and we absolutely do not. And, you know, that you see where all this is leading, but we're very short-sighted. And part of it is the media make us short-sighted. I won't go into how they do it, but I do believe they do. And, and just let me, on this point, let me, this is what I think is, you know, really interesting to notice. Within Canadian society, these different groups, all the different groups, Muslim Canadians and Sikh Canadians and transgender Canadians, and so, you know, their communities are very well defined. Whereas if you take, you know, for lack of a better word, white Canadians, we have no community. No one speaks of it. No one mentions it. It's never, it doesn't exist. And there's one reason why. There's one main reason why it doesn't exist. Because if you do it, and I know this from personal experience, you are a racist. So white, put it this way, Caucasian, whatever you want to call it, and it's not about supremacy at all. It really isn't. That's just a media government creation. It's really, if anything, about equality that we're going to need as the decades pass. And you know, if there's any sign of that, like with, say, the truckers, you know, convoy, well, it's racism. It's racism, but every other community can do it. Therefore, we are shunned, excluded, and ostracized within society. Is that multiculturalism? Of course it isn't. That's a loaded political agenda of destruction.
You know what? I'm not going to disagree with you at all, Brad. It's a very deep thought, but it's one that people have to roll around in their brain and kind of figure it out for themselves exactly what is going on. Your immigration figures, I think, are a little bit low. I know between the foreign student exchange program, the foreign worker programs that are going on in Canada right now, between that and our illegal immigration and our actual legal immigration, I think you're up more like 1 million people a year. These people that are coming in on these student programs are never going to leave the country, Brad. Once they've got their foot in the door, they're here. Same thing with the people that are coming in under these. They're brought in by hundreds of thousands, brought in foreign worker programs. I was looking at the numbers. Well, none of those people, once they've got their foot in Canada, aren't going to leave. So you got to factor that all into the equation, and they're just building an incredible voter base for themselves. It's happening at light speed. People really have to be aware. Where's our voice now on immigration levels? I mean, Trudeau's talking 400,000 a year. We know those are low. We don't actually have actual figures for people that are walking in illegally. So you take that all into consideration. Our country is being inundated, my friend. Inundated.
It is, and that's, I mean, that is the agenda. We are an open door country. We're an open door, what I have sometimes called the Salvation Army nation of the world. Like, we, you know, come refugees, come everyone, you know, rich, poor, what have you. And this is, you know, the creation of a new what. And Trudeau used this term, you know, postmodern. I believe Canada's a postmodern society. Well, he darn right meant it, you know, because that's exactly what we are. And you know, our type of people are not part of this postmodern society. He's the kind of person, you know, that has sort of the thinking of a dictator. That's, I believe, how he thinks. Like, and he's sort of like a messiah of the third world. You know, he's the, you know, and this is the way his mind works, which is really quite twisted and quite sick. But nonetheless, I believe that's what it is. And, you know, he's building the new Canada, and those who don't fit into it can be gone, just like Mao Zedong got rid of 10 or 20 million, you know, whoever the people that didn't fit into his new communist China, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, that's where we fit in. Here we are, you know, you and I, you know, complaining, but discussing and complaining and, you know, absolutely against it, right? Well, what interest does he have in us being around?
Yeah, well, we can't stop talking about it, Brad. You know that. I mean, we realize the danger.
No.
Our country's in great danger right now. That I honestly believe that we don't have. I don't even know if we'll make it. The way I see things going right now, and the power the government has with Jadman and Justin working together, and of course the Greens are all on board with anything to do. We have no voice. They can basically do whatever they want to do. Some of the censorship stuff and some of the things they're going to pull off in the next little while, Brad, I think is going to shock people. And in the same mouthful, everybody figures now the pandemic's gone away. Hey, in BC, we're not vaxxed anymore. No more vax passports, no math. Mark my words, buddy. It's just a little breath of fresh air. They're going to come back at us so hard. It's going to freak people out what's going to come forward. I honestly believe that because they've seen how society reacted to this so-called pandemic that isn't a pandemic. What's going to happen when they bring out something that really has a little bit of punch to it, Brett? What's society going to do?
I can't disagree. I mean, all these things are instruments. Like COVID to me is an instrument. It's sort of it's an instrument. It's a tool in the agenda. And you may be absolutely right that this was a first run to see how people would react, and people reacted the way they wanted to for the most part, except for our type, who, you know, are expendable. And you know, there's going to be these. I just think that it's a general loss of freedom, that the idea of true democracy is over. I don't personally consider Canada a democratic country. I don't. And it used to be, but it isn't anymore. You know, like I think it's a dictatorship. It's a soft dictatorship, if you want to call it that, because it's not completely understood within society. You know, like one difference between socialism and communism very quickly. One definition is that with socialism, the general public don't understand that it's a communist society, and with true communism, they do. So, you know, that's what we are, a socialist nation, because we are communist, but we don't realize it yet.
Yeah, yet. It's going to change, Brad.
Yes.
They're really going to push the digital. I know that's going to be the next big push. What do you think? How fast do you think they're going to be able to bring? You know what I think, Brad? Honestly, I honestly think that within, I'm going to say 2 years at the most, there will be no cash left in the world, that they will force us into using digital currency. I really think that's the next big step, because if they can achieve that, then we have lost. We have lost it. We have no control left over our lives, period.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because digital currency is one thing, and cryptocurrency, I think the real goal is digital identification, digital ID. And I just published an article on the Cultural Action Party website just now or recently today about this, is that it's the digital ID revolution. And under this, and Canada is pushing it, even though the media aren't talking about it, it's coming our way. Absolutely. No question. And the piece, not only are they not talking about it, but what they will, I'm sure, never talk about is the fact that digital ID it's really from, well, it's related to social credit, and social credit is China. It comes from China, and this is what Trudeau, the China lover, is implementing. It's coming to Canada, right? And social credit, just quickly, because not everyone may you know about this stuff, it's as it sounds, social credit. So within society, you get a credit for behaving and believing in a certain way. So if you adhere to government standards and government ideology and attitudes toward race and sexuality, et cetera, you know, you get credit. You're in their good books. And if you're, for example, the truckers, you get bad credit, you see, just like the truckers' bank accounts were frozen, right? Like, this was a little test of this system, of this social credit system. You misbehave, you get out of line, we'll freeze your bank accounts. That's what they do in China. That is social credit, right? So digital ID and digital currency too, but the digital ID thing, which is coming, is the financial communist agenda. It's taken from China, it's coming to Canada. The Trudeau government is doing it, and it's the deepest, heaviest control mechanism possible, you know, I would say, in Canadian history, whereby, you know, you've got a digital ID and the government knows who you are, what you've done, what you've supported, and if they don't like it, they can punish you. Just, again, as the frozen bank accounts of the truckers sort of represents as an initial step.
Yeah, implementing the War Measures Act, more known as the Emergencies Measures Act, the reasons they did, is just, it's unprecedented in Canadian history, and yet people still have no idea exactly what happened when the government did that. That was another test run. If they can get away with that for a week, boy, oh boy, look out, guys, because something's going to come down the tubes and they're going to hammer us. Well, I guess the days for me to go live in my cave are coming soon there, Brad, because there's a lot of people I know that don't have bank accounts. I'm one person that doesn't have a bank account. I haven't had a bank account now in 7 years. So how am I going to function going forward in this society? I won't be able to, period. So I'll have to cross that bridge when I come to it. But I've got a cave and I got some food.
I don't know. I think these are the realities, I believe, anyway, and I don't have a crystal ball, but I mean, this is what I see. And, you know, I've been following these things for decades and writing about it. You know, I've written thousands of articles on these topics that we've discussed. And, you know, my educated opinion is this is what's coming. And, you know, and Trudeau is just the biggest evangelist, you know, of this. He's a cheerleader for all of this. It's disgraceful. It's such a disgrace. But, you know, what can the little guy do to stop it, right?
You said earlier, Brad, that we can't stop this, but I honestly think, if enough Canadians could recognize what's going on and we rose in voice in mass right now, we could put a stop to this. We could. If Canadians were just able to get their hands on the information about what they're doing with these jibby jabs, if that was just somehow given to the Canadian public so they fully understood what exactly is going on, this would come to a stop. People would be rioting in the streets. They'd be looking to take their politicians by the neck, take them out in the street and hang them for what they've done to society. I am praying and hoping that enough information gets to the common person here in the next little while, because I don't believe we have a great period of time to fix this, but I do believe that the window is still there, but we have to get people fully involved, understanding that if they don't get involved, that number one, you're not doing your duty as a citizen to this country. It's your duty to stand against this. Your legacy as a human being is going to mean nothing if your children are bent to the knee saying Heil Justin going forward in the future. I look at this right now as a pivotal time in our history, but I honestly believe we can just get this information out to people. What's at stake? What's really at stake? And you know what's at stake. I know what's at stake. Most of the people listening to this show today, honestly, they get it too. right? But we've got to get it to the people.
I believe
that's our mission. That's our mission. That's, if we could do that, we could bring this to a stop, folks. You know how we do it, Brad? We sit down at your coffee table every time you get a chance to engage with people in a conversation. Any way you find a window opening that you can engage and engage them on a conversation that they can understand. Don't go down the rabbit holes. Talk to them on a simple level. People are starting to really ask questions in society. And one of the reasons for that, Brad, is now there's quite a bit of talk in my little community about people that are being affected by the jibby jab. As people know people.
I think the answer.
I know four people that are dead now because of it, Brad, myself. Four people.
Yeah. No, it's very real. The answer, if there is one, is in the grassroots of this country. And our government really hates us, you know, I would say at this point. But, you know, that's where it lies in solidarity, you know, and organization, because each person on their own is not, you know, we have to get together and fight this battle. That's what it is. I mean, it's a battle of government against the outsider community or the villain community, you know, and we can see that with our own eyes in the way government responded to the truckers' protests, the branding of truckers as racist, of course, and white supremacists, and this bunk, you know, because it's complete garbage, in my opinion. But this is what they use to hold us back from organizing and protesting and standing up to the government. The difference is between, you know, thought and action, you know, and even that's why I called my party, you know, Cultural Action Party, because the answer lies in action, not just, you know, in keyboard warrior type behavior or mm-hmm. just talk. I mean, if you don't take action, you don't get anything done. And so that's what I believe.
Yeah, the government thinks they've heard the end of these convoys and that it's all gone away. But I'm sure you're aware of what's going on right now with a couple of groups that are forming with ex-police officers and ex-military and what the plan is going forward here in the near future. The bikers that are organizing right now in Canada, I haven't got the exact numbers, but if the government thinks that we're all going to go running away right now and put our tail between our legs and not say anything, I think they're in for a rude awakening.
Go
ahead.
I was just saying, you know, everyone who does that, you know, for what it's worth, has my respect. I mean, you know, this is, you know, the guts to take the action, because, you know, people can lose jobs and they can, you know, bad things can happen. And, you know, they stand up to the government, and that's what as many Canadians have to do as possible, is simply not with violence, but stand up to the government. And anyone who does that, you know, has my respect. I mean, I believe in patriotism. You know, I stand 100% opposed to woke liberalism and you know, pink fascism, as I call it, which is the LGBT industry and the transgender industry, which is what I call them. It's an industry. These things are, you know, just a bad, damaging force on society. You know, it's and this is one reason why, you know, the government and Trudeau and they all, you know, hate nationalism and hate patriotism so much. They don't hate nationalism in China or Iran, only in Canada, you know, because they want to keep us down. They want to keep us fragmented, and we're all racist if we rebel. And we see this with the way Trudeau responded, you know, to the truckers movement and many other things. And now they're saying, you know, Pierre Poilievre, well, only white people showed up at his rallies. And what does this mean? You know, it's a sign of, you know, the more racism. And, you know, for the media and government, everyone who doesn't agree with woke liberalism is a racist. I mean, it's a foolish and superficial
idea, but they keep employing it, and because I guess it works.
Word solid. Well, hey, don't worry about it now, because Pierre Poilievre, he's our new hero, man. He's riding in on his big white horse there. He's got a suit of armor on. He's saying everything that Canadians want to hear right now. We're in good hands. Don't worry about it, Brad. That's the biggest joke I've ever seen in my life is what's going on there right now. If people can't see controlled opposition 2.0, I don't know what to say. Because all of a sudden, this guy's going to be our hero.
Yeah.
He's going to save Canada. Wake up, folks. Go ahead.
I was just thinking that it's what's interesting about Poilievre is that, he, you know, 90% of what he says is based on economics, and he's what Canada needs is an economist and someone who understands that whole area of national finance and so on and so forth, right? But from the media, you know, he's a racist so much, but the people who support him are racist and all this. But he's not even talking about those issues. You know, everything he's talking about is more on the practical side. It's not a bunch of ideology like Trudeau, right? And yet they still come back with this racist tag, which which was successful with previous leaders, Harper in particular, and Scheer, and then O'Toole somewhat, and now Poilievre. It's the same method every time with the media. Oh, they're racist. Oh, they're white supremacist. I mean, how many times in a row can this be effective? How many times can they cry wolf before the voters and the people of Canada understand that this is, you know, that it's just it's a ruse, you know, it's a mask or a tactic to keep Canada liberal. You know, and mm-hmm. It's really quite sad because at the end of the day, you know, it's not democracy. We really don't have true, you know, authentic democracy in this country anymore. And, you know, if people would understand this, and it's not out of stupidity or ignorance, it's a result of propaganda from this communist like media monolith that we have in Canada. You know, it's very sad to me.
Well, we've had the same system in place for 100 years now. You vote for the Liberals, they messed it up, so you kick them out, and you vote the Conservatives in, and they messed it up, and then you go back to the Liberals, and back and forth, back and forth. Two parties controlling the country for over 100 years now. What do you think is going to happen in a country like that? We need to reform our constitutions and the way our government works for people in Canada. They do not work for Canadians in any shape or form. And Poilievre, you know, at the end of the day, he's saying a lot of good things. He's bringing out a lot of good points. I don't trust him myself, period, because he's still, at the end of the day, he's a conservative. So I just look at him right now. We're 2.5 years away from an election. You know, what good is him ramping up everybody at this point? What's why all of a sudden has he come forward when he's been quiet for the last 2 or 3 years, seeing what's going on in our country, and all of a sudden he's come forward now, and he's a new knight in white armor. Something stinks. That's just my opinion.
No, I think that's fair. I've thought that myself, that the timing is so odd, you know, that and even as far as setting the date of the Conservative nomination at September 10th, and it's just such a long way out. Like, why did they do that? And where did Jean Charest come from, you know, from the grave practically, or the tar pits of the dinosaurs, you know, and all of a sudden this guy's back. And you know, I think it is all very suspect. And then the Liberal NDP marriage between Trudeau and Singh occurs, and now we're locked in until, I believe, late 2025. And here they are kind of behaving like the election is 2 months down the road, that the writ's going to be dropped tomorrow. You know, it all seems like something that could kind of burn out by the time you got to the actual election.
Yeah, it's kind of odd the way this has played out here in the last little while, and his tour across country and people just getting super ramped up. And, you know, he is saying a lot of what people want to hear right now, but I don't trust any politician. I just don't trust them. I mean, look what they've said to us in the past, and what happens when they get into power. Everything changes. That's all you have to do is get elected, and the ball's in your court, and we have no system in place to hold them to account. What we need right away in Canada would be recall legislation where the people in the country actually have a voice. If you took a poll across the country right now and asked how many people really like Trudeau, and it was an actual poll, I think the numbers would astound you. Everybody I know hates the guy, and he's hated across the country. Absolutely. But here he is. Absolutely. Here he is acting like a dictator for the next 2.5 years. No recourse.
Yeah,
it is. Jabbing things in his pocket.
Yeah.
So we're in a
fix. It is very strange stuff. Very strange, oddball politics. And it has been since Trudeau got into office 6.5 years ago. I mean, and I don't trust any of it. I don't trust it. To me, what I see is that, you know, this, our country's not really run by, it's sort of like the Prime Minister, you know, Trudeau is sort of an errand boy for the globalist World Economic Forum and George Soros and the UN and China and Saudi Arabia. It's more like, you know, Trudeau to me comes across as sort of their gopher. And even like my perception, like I don't really even think of him as a Canadian. I don't really think of him. To me, he's more like a foreign sort of dictator, you know, that they flew into the country. I don't know. It's just.
You mean the drama teacher? The drama teacher? You don't think he did drama for a reason? You listen to the way he talks, Brad. You know, he has this mechanism that he has a voice that no matter people realize it's all bull coming out of his mouth. They still mesmerized by his demeanor. I mean, the most important thing in that guy's life is his socks. And yet the whole world looks at his socks. He was trained all his life for the position he's in right now. I believe that, no doubt about it. And here he is.
Yeah.
But his strings are being pulled. Well, George Soros is pulling his strings, and Klaus Schwab is pulling the strings of George Soros. So Trudeau is not running our country. He's just the mouthpiece. Go ahead.
I was, in that regard, I was amazed to look at the actual WEF, World Economic Forum, platform, so to speak, which I actually got a copy of, or their agenda, their proposal for the next 10 years, and so on and so forth. And I looked through it and I'm like, well, this is identical to Justin Trudeau's agenda, not just in a couple areas, but everywhere. In totality, like everything. Yeah. It was a facsimile. It was a faxed copy, you know, LGBT, World Economic Forum's all over it, right? What digital ID, they're all over it. I mean, Trudeau is a puppet for Klaus Schwab, I believe, and I believe that's who's running our country, and we've lost all, sovereignty. We've lost all sovereignty, and Trudeau has sold us out.
Klaus Schwab came out and said that Justin Trudeau's his poster boy for the World Economic Forum. He's his main guy, man.
Yeah,
that came out of Klaus Schwab's mouth. Go read COVID-19. I haven't read it, but there's an audio file now you can get for COVID-19, The Great Reset, the book that Klaus Schwab wrote. You go listen to it for a while.
Yeah.
It'll blow your mind. It will.
So this is
exactly what's going on right now.
And this is the thing. You know, if this piece of reality, which I believe it, this, we're not talking fantasy, we're talking reality, was, you know, for example, a headline in the Globe and Mail, and it'll never happen, but I mean, you know, if this was actually exposed to the people of Canada, then hopefully, probably we as a country would get it, but it will never happen. And the media are really hiding. They're not in the news business anymore. They're in the hiding news business. You know, it's what they don't publish. that is the most impactful.
What they're not publishing is criminal, Brad. It's absolutely
it's true.
Because people are dying from being jibby-jabbed. And if the information was given to the Canadian public, and they really, like I said it before, if people really knew what was going on with these jibby-jabs, what it's doing to people, what we're seeing now with the rising cancers, what we're seeing across the board with myocarditis, how it's affecting people. People are dying left, right, and center. Numbers are escalating. There's no coincidence. It all started when they started these jibbies. And now that information needs to be brought to the public. Like I said, if we could just get that to Canadian people, they knew what was going on. We'd see a revolution, Brett. They'd be looking for politicians.
Yeah, I mean,
they'd want to hang them because they've stuck this stuff in their kids. And what's it going to do to the children, Brett?
Really,
that's a tragedy,
this
buddy.
This is the problem. Like you're touching on such a giant problem in our society, not only in Canada, but the thing is that these situations occur and we only come to understand them 5, 10 years, whatever, after. So, in my opinion, in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it will be fairly common knowledge, you know, what you're talking of and the damage and danger of the jabs and so on and so forth. This will come out in time, but it never comes out at the time. That's Canada. And that means to me that government and media work together in a communist fashion. It's always after the fact, just like I think with multiculturalism and how it came out as a program of equality. And then 40, 50 years later, you realize that actually that a certain segment of the population is not part of it and have been vilified and targeted, and reverse racism is the result, not equality, right? And this kind of thing in Canada repeats over and over because the media are in the pocket of the liberals in particular.
I think your number, what you're thinking about, how long it's going to take before society starts to really recognize what's going on with these jibby jabs, I think that is going to be within this year's time frame, Brett. I honestly do.
It could well be.
I'm going to say that because of a conversation that I've had with pretty knowledgeable doctors, people that really are watching what's going on with the cases and the numbers around the world, what this is doing to people's immune system. And that's the big ticket. We're seeing an explosion in cancer. We're seeing an explosion in diseases. We are going to be dealing with a society that basically has no immune system in the very, very near future. And that alone would be catastrophic to society because a common cold will now kill you. The measles will now kill you. The whooping cough will now kill you.
Wow.
Chickenpox will now kill you if you have no immune system. That's where we're heading.
And I think the numbers are going to be. If you think about that, no, I don't deny it. I can see it happening. But just to expand on the thought, the beneficiary is Big Pharma. Right? Like this element is this Big Pharma element of society. Like really COVID could be seen as one giant cash cow, cash grab to empower Big Pharma for the future and not very distant future either. But I mean, this is a giant cash grab of pharma control of society. And you know, this is also the so-called 1% elite or you know what I mean? So, I mean, pharma benefits.
We only got a couple minutes left here. I'm going to add a quick thought to that. I you know, sure there's going to be an unbelievable financial benefit for these people that are making these jibby jabs. But I don't really think that's the objective. I think the objective is a lot deeper, and money is just a spinoff of what they're actually doing to society now. Being this many people been vaccinated, blah, blah, blah. Sure, they're going to make billions off it, but I think the agenda is a lot deeper and a lot more evil than that. Brad, I'm going to get you to share a couple last thoughts with you, and I'm going to have to let you go. Thanks for coming in. I've enjoyed our conversation.
I think, you know, that we've really, I think we've discussed some vital issues, you know, so that this that what, you know, I'm not saying that we know everything and we understand everything, we're correct about everything, but I do believe that the general conversation, you know, that you and I have had today is the reality of this country. And the media presentation and the government presentation and the way it's positioned in our education system, which really is a Marxist education system, in my opinion, is a facade, is a propaganda campaign. And the more that, you know, Canadians see this, see through this propaganda, neo-communist, you know, the better and the greater chance we have of overthrowing it. You know, whether it will happen, I have no idea. But I do believe, and I practice this on a daily basis, each of us has to take a stand and take some action toward, you know, fighting this socialist revolution, you know, that Justin Trudeau is in charge of.
Yeah, he wants to be a dictator, buddy, and he's getting in there, and it's not going to take too much longer. That's his dream, and that's where he's taking our country. We can still stop it. We can still stop it. It was just, we just, like I said, and I'll say it one more time, if we get the Canadian people to understand the real danger the country's in, then I think you'd see the uprising. We need to put a stop to this. You know, Brad, I've enjoyed our conversation. A couple of things we discussed today. We always have a slight variation on opinions, but basically we both see what's going on. We both understand the danger of what's coming to our country, and all we can do is keep talking and trying to wake our fellow Canadians up. And I want to thank you for doing that. Keep up the good work.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed the conversation, and hope we can do it again sometime.
Okay, Brad, I'll have you back in the near future. Bye for now.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Barry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, folks, well, that's a wrap. Good thing, because I'm losing my voice. I always seem to lose my voice at the end of the show. Maybe it's an old age thing, but I'm glad I don't have to talk anymore. Thanks for joining us today. I've enjoyed our conversations. Couple slip-ups there with the language, folks. We'll try not to have that in the future, but it always manages to slip in there once in a while. Outside of that, I think we brought some good information forward today, and maybe some of it you can digest, and maybe some of it makes sense, and maybe you will get involved, because that's what it's going to take right now to stop this insanity if we don't get involved. I've said this many times, and it might sound canny, but our children are going to pee on our graves one day if we don't put a stop to this, because we know it's real. We know the dangers, and it's up to us to really get involved and put a stop to it for our children's sake, for everything you value in life. We've got to get involved. Thanks for joining me this week. God bless you all. Have a great week. Bye for now.